It's time for Twig This Week in Google. The whole gang's here. Stacey Higginbotham's back. Aunt Pruitt's back. Jeff Jarvis is here. A little bit more about Elon Musk. Turns out his whole plan is just to flip Twitter in a couple of years. We'll also talk about working from home versus working in the office and why Airbnb's new policy is great. A look at internet access from T-Mobile and Verizon. They've got it in for Comcast. And the origin of the word sneeze. It may surprise you. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twig. This Week in Google, episode 662, recorded Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Made with lard. This Week at Google is brought to you by Privacy.com. Privacy lets you buy things online using virtual cards instead of having to use your real ones, protecting your financial identity on the internet. Right now, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on their first purchase. Go to privacy.com/twig to sign up now. And by Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat discussing tech topics big, small, and strange. Listen to Compiler on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV has everything you need to level up your IT skills while you enjoy the journey. Visit itpro.tv/twit for an additional 30% off all consumer subscriptions for the lifetime of your active subscription when you use the code TWIT30 at checkout. It's time for Twig This Week at Google, the show where you talk about everything but Google. Stacey Higginbotham's back. We missed you, Stacey, from StaceyOnIoT.com and the IoT Podcast.
I missed y'all, but I'm glad to be back today.
I love your red coral necklace.
Oh, I'm trying to spice it up. Ta-da!
It does look like little tiny spice chilies, but it's not. I can tell it's coral, right?
It is coral.
Yeah, yeah. It does, like little chilies. That's You're nice. Hungry. Glenn Fleischman, your neighbor, filled in for you last week.
Thanks, Glenn.
It was fun.
Lots of typography talk.
Yeah. Whoo, boy, you didn't miss a thing.
Hey.
Aunt's back too, Aunt Pruitt. We missed you too.
Oh, thank you.
It was a tough show with no Aunt and no Stacy. Twit.tv/HOP.
That's right.
He was going around the other day taking 8K videos of people.
Beautiful 8K from the Canon.
I don't think with the bags under my eyes look at that bad. They sure do on the 8K though.
Well, that's what
you look much better on this
in
2K, particular
in 720p.
Yeah. And whatever we're in here.
Let's stay with 720p.
Hey, we put it in the Slack that we're going to upgrade the cameras here at Twitch.
Not 8K, so please.
It's official.
Oh my God.
If we want to see what Leo would look like after the zombie apocalypse and possibly when he's, I'm going to go with near death from a lung infection.
Yes.
That's
what I look like. Exactly. Also from the beautiful New Jersey, the Leonard Tao Professor for Journalistic Innovation at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York, Mr. Jeff Jarvis.
And I want credit for having brought Glenn on the show. And then
loved Glenn.
I bought his book.
Oh, London Kerning.
Little book, but it's a typographical tour of London.
Oh, how fun. He is so nerdy. Actually, we're going to have him back. I think he's going to be on Twit in a few weeks because I'd never met him.
He's really kind. When I first started out as a journalist working like in the tech press, he reached out for something or he commented on one of my posts. He knew a lot of wireless stuff. And I was going to be in Seattle and I was like, hey, man, you want to meet up? And he just was so kind. He walked me through some technology stuff. I mean, just a genuinely nice person.
Yeah.
As opposed to us, I guess she's saying. But yeah.
I agree. No. He's nicer than you and me, that's for sure, Jeff.
Yeah.
He was really great. We had a great time. We were talking about thongs.
He's meant for the Twit Network, yes.
Yeah.
But don't steal him from Twig.
No. Well, he
could be other grown-up table.
He could be
but,
on other,
you know,
other shows,
back
too.
Here too.
Yeah.
Hey, I personally think this show is the grown-up table.
I agree.
I don't care what anyone else says.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
This is where the grown-ups
This is where we talk about
you
the
don't
boring
see
things,
me
what you're saying, yes.
On Sunday night, you're only going to catch
me. Well, we could change that, actually. Have you ever done Twit, Stacey? Yes.
I think she has, right?
I've done it once. I say no
You say like, no, because I hope we ask you, because I just...
Oh, yeah, no. But that's, I'm like, I choose this table. Yeah. It's the table.
Well, you can't do it this Sunday. It's Mother's Day. So I won't
Working. I'll be at a conference.
Really?
Oh, yeah, wow. I know.
You go to, you're going back to a lot of conferences all of a sudden now that things have opened up.
It is possible. I am vaccinated. I'm triple vaxxed. I'm going to get quadruple vaxxed, but I'm waiting. I don't know when to get... Anyway, bottom line, I'm going to a conference next week, after that. One's the next week is in Vegas.
Oh, fun.
Siemens Realize Live. I will be the MC, y'all.
Oh, how fun.
Really?
Oh, okay. Nice.
Singing and dancing.
Now, Siemens is famous for making SCADA devices. They're a German hardware company. What is this about, though?
This is their OT technology conference. Ah. But you know what they also make? Oh, wait. I should double check this.
Every time I see Siemens, I think infrastructure.
Yeah, they make powered infrastructure. And I think they make the Washington State ferries.
Oh, wow.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they're one of those like Hyundai
conglomerates.
Keiretsu, giant German.
Yes,
company.
Siemens makes the Washington State ferry boats.
Wow,
possibly other ferry boats, but definitely. I just remember walking by the ferry one day and being like, "What? Siemens here? Huh?"
So let's see. This looks like fun. Siemens Realize Live, and it's going to be mostly IoT things. Yeah.
Yes, it's industrial IoT.
Okay.
My next conference is in Dallas, which is less of an exciting place, but the conference is going to be more exciting. It's going to be about smart homes.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Matter. You have to see mom and dad?
No, mom and dad live in Houston.
Look, there she is.
It's Texas.
Right,
it's
there in the speaker section. Look at that. Host moderator. How fun.
Mrs. Higginbottom.
Ooh.
I got it. Oh, look, I'm wearing the same necklace.
I want you to talk to the head of strategic partners of Red Bull Racing. I'm
Is that Horner on there?
It's Zoe Chilton. She must work with him. But Red Bull, of course, has the champion
Max Verstappen.
Racing
he's
for
really
them.
Good.
Yeah.
Gosh, he's so good.
Yeah. Anyway, great to have everybody here. One of the reasons Stacey wasn't here last week is she did not want to talk about Twitter.
I did.
It's true. I was like, oh, goodness.
I did.
No.
Were you? And see, I screwed up, Ant. I forgot to call on your piece that you sent in DM.
I was looking forward to it. The Twitter troubles continue with Elon Musk. The staff is up in arms, as you might imagine. Part of the problem is if you take it public, their compensation, which is based on stock, suddenly becomes a little iffy.
Private.
Elon's...
Private.
Yeah.
Take it private.
You said if you take it public.
Vice versa, yeah. Although, the reason I was thinking that is because Elon, who's trying to get the rest of the money together, has been
reassuring... Yeah, like, in a couple of years, I'll make it public.
He's been reassuring investors, don't worry, we're gonna go public in 3 years. Like, oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. After what happens, so he's basically saying, "Yeah, I know I can't make any money on it, but we're gonna shine it up, polish it up. We're gonna sell it back to the stock market, and then
new kitchen counter will be
beautiful,
worth a lot more."
Yeah,
yeah.
He's basically saying he's gonna flip Twitter. You nailed it. Flipping Twitter.
Show title.
There should be a new
red
Discovery TV show. You know, social media flippers
flipping
or something.
Social.
Poor Agrawal had to reassure the staff, who said he seems very, very tired and unhappy.
Well, I mean, he just got the gig.
Well,
and
wait
all
a minute.
Of this stuff is happening,
everybody's
right?
insulting him.
And he's got a golden parachute, I think $44 million.
Oh, shit.
He's going to be okay, right? Would you be sad and tired if you knew in 6 months, I got $44 million and a lot of time on my hands?
I'm miserable.
For the most part, he stuck to the script, says Platformer. This is Casey Newton's blog. This was a simple business deal designed to provide the most benefit to shareholders. At one point, he apologized before once again using the word fiduciary.
Oh.
Excuse me, but I'm going to use the word fiduciary again. He said, he began by saying, please stop leaking to the press. He made a low-key effort to rally the troops while acknowledging he had little idea how Musk might change the company. Newton writes, "We don't know the specifics of change. I don't want us to go in believing nothing will change." He quotes him. He urged the company's current employees to stick around.
Is it unfair?
Please don't leave.
Is it unfair to assume that Musk is going to make that a better business, Twitter a better business?
Some say Musk may lay off more than half the staff in an effort to cut costs.
But Twitter is a business, right? I know we use it as a social media platform.
Yeah, but it's a money-losing business.
But they're right. So,
but it actually doesn't actually lose money, right? I mean,
it doesn't make money.
Positive cash flow.
Well, hold on. Well, are they? Do they report Twitter?
Does well, they just reported. Profit? They just reported.
So let's see what the Twitter. Let's see what the Twitter results are. The stock is up to $49, which tells me the market doesn't believe they're going to get $54 a share from Elon. Stock, I'm looking for the quarterly results. Do you have them somewhere?
Still underperforming.
I thought they just released it.
I'm looking for it.
All right.
But I mean, just
upset. Twitter latest filing admits losing advertisers on TechCrunch.
Okay.
May 3.
Okay.
So they're losing advertisers. Let's see what else is going on.
But again, it's still a business. What is wrong with someone saying, hey, my business is failing and I'm trying to make my business better? So if someone wants to buy this business and make it better and have at it,
what's wrong with that? SEC filing.
It's SEC filing.
Yeah, it's not a quarterly results. Its core advertising business could now be at risk as a result of Musk's takeover. In addition, employee hiring and retention efforts and other factors at risk. So it's a business that never historically has made very much money.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of mind share. That's the value, right? Is the brand is worth something. Employees are upset and possibly leaving for a variety of reasons. Partly because...
Sounds like any other business.
Yeah, but
are you complaining, Ed?
Would you spend $44 billion of your money on it?
No, I wouldn't, but what I'm saying is look at like Dell and all of those other companies that they went through some form of a transformation. It's
Michael Dell took Dell private. Yeah.
You know,
Dell took him private though. He took a private with a strategy. His strategy was convergence and he's actually implementing that strategy. Executing on that strategy.
But it is perfectly fine. I was just,
it's all good.
I was just trying to fill in blank, but your blank was right.
My blank is just blank.
And by the way, did the same thing because he took it private in 2013 and 5 years later put it back on the stock market.
Yeah, that's what you do. He basically wanted to take it out of the public. Yeah, out of the public eye. But
I see. The idea being, you know, we're going to put a big sheet over it and fix it and then unveil it.
His concern was Wall Street had such short-term thinking that they were not valuing the company's investments properly.
Okay.
And I mean, sure, every CEO thinks that, right? I'm sure. But he actually had a plan and a strategy because his whole thing was building out a converged computing strategy for cloud infrastructure.
Although
and he actually has done that.
I do remember in 2013 when he did that, people were saying, oh, he's overextended. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to work. This is a really risky move. People were just as skeptical.
Say that.
They were just as skeptical.
I said that he was
He would do well. And you were right.
I knew exactly what he was doing because we could see it.
So, Miss Stacy, is the problem that this is Elon Musk? Just taking this on, would people say the same if it were, say, I don't know, what's his name, Buffett?
Elon doesn't seem to have a plan. Like Michael Dell came in with a plan that he articulated and had been articulating for months ahead of time. And the other thing is, I'll just be honest, Elon Musk does not have the gravitas.
Right.
And even this like theoretical gravitas. This man's like a total... You cannot take him seriously with a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
And there's also the fact that he's got multiple other businesses to run. And historically, his businesses have not met their deadlines in some of the execution has not been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I drive a Tesla. I was excited about Starlink, for example. I'm not denigrating Elon Musk for being a visionary and lots of things that he does, but I also don't think he's not someone I'm like, oh yeah, that's a guy who's going to turn around a struggling social network.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, it's okay. Worse than that. He's said things that we know are going to be damaging. You know, take off the moderation that gets it to be finally a decent place, invite back bad people, do things like require identification, which hurts the vulnerable.
But what about open sourcing the algorithm? Is that a bad thing?
Yes.
What does that
it's
mean?
Just silly.
Well, first of all, Elon has no idea what open source means because back in the early days of Tesla, he said we're going to open source our car. He did not open source it. He just essentially said he licensed it. So he doesn't understand what open sourcing means. Oh. But you wouldn't want to. First of all, you probably couldn't open source the algorithm. He's saying it's like Coca-Cola. It's just the secret recipe.
Uh-huh.
It isn't that simple. But even if you did, the real beneficiaries of that, in my opinion and others, is the spammers who would then game the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason Google doesn't tell people how it works. Facebook doesn't tell people how it works. Because all that does is encourage gaming.
Gaming the system. Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yep. So, it's a different matter. I mean, but a better answer to your question, Ant, and this is why I keep harping on Blue Sky, because that is a plan that says let's make Twitter and other social media into a protocol so that people can post wherever they want, hello, Kevin Marks, and then we can come along and say, I'm going to find all the good people talking about cameras. I'm going to find them out here and here and here and here, and I'm going to use these criteria and put it together in a new value-added Ant social world camera thing, right? Now, that's a strategy. That's more than just saying, I'll make it open source.
Well, and it's interesting because we talked about that on Sunday. Cory Doctorow and Owen Thomas and Tim Stevens were on Twit on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And Cory said, I asked about Blue Sky, and Cory said it's interesting because the way Blue Sky is structured, Elon does not control it. It is already funded, so Elon cannot take the funding away. And there's no guarantee.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And there's no guarantee that what Blue Sky does would end up being under the aegis of Twitter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So Blue Sky is a kind of a, you know, Skunkworks R&D project that it's a hedge. It's going to be out of Elon's hands, which is good because Blue Sky looks to me a lot more like Mastodon. We were talking about Federation.
Yeah.
And Mastodon, which is, we run a Mastodon server, one of thousands, twit.social. Everybody, so you couldn't steal, you couldn't take Mastodon because you'd have, you know, there's nobody owns it.
Right.
You know, Eugene, who does the software, is independent software developer in Germany. I guess you could buy him, but the software is open source, so somebody would fork it, keep it going.
Yeah.
And because this is the beauty of a federated server like Blue Sky or Mastodon, each server owner, me in the case of twit.social, decides what goes and what doesn't go.
Right.
And if you don't want to, if there are some servers I don't like on Gab, for instance, runs on Mastodon.
Yeah.
So I can say, I don't want to see anything from Gab. They can moderate it any way they want.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't want to see it, I just say in my settings, no Gab. And then nobody.
Your users. I sign up for Twits.
No, you could do it. This was an eye-opener to me. It is at server level. Yes, I actually don't federate with Gab. So, but I might turn that back on because it turns out you can also do it as an individual. So you can be on any server and say, but I don't want to see traffic from server X, Y, or C. So you really have total control over what you see. I think it's a beautiful system.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if it's here.
I've been getting a lot of notifications for people following me on Mastodon, and I just want to say here that, folks, I hardly ever hop into twit.social.
Well, come on in. We have a nice little group.
I spend more time in twit.community.
Well, that's a good place too.
You know,
that's a forum.
I spend more time. So jump over there, twit.community. It's free. Just sign up, and somebody I know sitting next to me, he'll walk you through the approval process, just like Mastodon.
Yeah. I am a fan of federation in general.
Yeah.
And that's what Blue Sky is about. Cory was very strong. Although there was a funny little twist, because when the Supreme Court decision was leaked, a number of people pointed out that all Justice Alito is saying is, well, because Corey was saying, just like the United States is a federation.
Yes.
And each state has its own rules. And Corey said, and this was before it was leaked, you just move, if you don't like the rules of your state, you move to another state with different rules. So if you want to be in Texas, you move to California or Washington State, as you did. I don't know why. I don't think it was because of that, Stacey, but but that's
actually
it was okay.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't solely not because of that.
Sadly,
was...
when the decision came out, it became very clear. Not that's a kind of a luxury to say, well, I'm not going to live in this.
Yeah.
State.
You can't just be like, y'all,
I don't like
just
the rules
move
here.
If you don't like it.
Yeah. Doesn't work for most people.
Right.
Especially the people who are, you know, most deeply disadvantaged by this. But so it was kind of a little twist on this idea of federation. But, you know, there are reasons the United States is strong. We do have a federated union, and each state does get to make a lot of its own rules. And I, think that's not a bad thing necessarily. Anyway, not to get political and not to get into Twitter. Sorry,
we
Stacey.
Do talk about Google on this show, folks. I promise.
Is there any Google at all?
We always get to the change log.
Actually, there's a lot of Google because Google's quarterly results came out this week or last week. And Google I.O. We're going to do, Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Can't wait. Yes.
So the Google I.O. keynote is...
I don't get to be there with Jason and having the snacks. I don't get any free phone or anything, but I'll have you.
Well, that's not our fault. That's Google in their infinite wisdom decided not to invite the press. I guess it's kind of a weird hybrid I.O. this year, but the only people in person will be Google's employees and carefully curated. Will there be journalists?
Will there be nothing but cheers?
It sounds like the Apple kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
I thought there would be a couple. Never mind. I don't know.
I feel
mean,
like
I'm not
they
invited.
Should, yeah. Nobody I know was invited, so I'm figuring nobody good could possibly be going. It will be May 11th through 12th, both live and online, and we will be covering the keynote at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1700 UTC on Wednesday.
A week from today.
A week from today, May 11th.
Do we want to say what we're looking forward to?
Very sick of me.
Jeff Jarvis and Jason Howell and I will be doing the play-by-play. You could join us if you wanted, Stacey, but I figure you'll probably...
I think I'm doing my job, my other job.
Yeah, I think you're not available. That's right.
I think I'm doing that thing, you know.
The thing you actually get paid.
Sorry, Leo, I got a thing.
I got a thing. I'm washing my hair. I other, you know, I'd love to, but...
Husband, don't I have a thing?
I have a thing. What's that thing?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a thing.
We're doing that thing.
I'll be emceeing my conference.
Now. I know. We know. You already told us ahead of time, so nice. You're covered. You're safe. What will we expect at Google I.O.? I think a Pixel Watch. Pretty sure.
I'm excited about the watch, the final bringing together of the Fitbit acquisition, the hardware, the software
that
integrations.
That is an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
Everything related to that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, from what we've seen, it's actually a really attractive watch, don't you think?
All watches are too big for me.
Yeah.
That's just, you know.
It's the floppy
hands. I've got floppy wrists. Yeah, delicate wrists that can't support a watch.
And that's one thing I could never say about these watches is most of the time they're always a little bit too small. It's nice to see these larger face
for
watches.
A big guy you like
know,
you and
my
me.
Hands are big.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
You
yeah.
know, something like that looks okay. You know, this one.
Is that the Pixel Watch?
Can you and Leo put your hands up next to each other? I'm curious to compare to size.
You don't even want to. You don't even want to. I'm like a child.
Wow.
Like a child. Child's hands. Little tiny baby hands.
Oh, Mr. Trump.
This is why I still use these,
how tall are
these
you?
Old mice, too, because these old mice actually fit my hands better.
Oh, that's interesting. You know? How tall are you?
I'm just 6'2". I'm not very tall.
Just 6'2". Okay.
That's like the average height.
So your hands are not out of proportion.
5'10 is the height of the average man.
That's my height.
United States. Yeah.
You're not 5'10".
No. I was before I got old. I used to be.
I was reading about this surgery you could do for $75,000.
You get gain 3 inches, huh? But my hands would then even be smaller, relatively. It'd be like really tiny.
I'm sorry, chat room. I thought 6'2 was roughly an average.
Isn't he sweet? Bless his heart.
Yeah, that's adorable.
That's the average guy, 6'2", right?
I thought so.
And your hands.
My hands are really big.
Are they bigger than like a normal 6'2 person?
I think so. I've always been told.
They seem pretty big.
You have puppy dog hands.
Where's Jason? Jason in here.
Football catching hands.
Howell is 6'6, right?
No, he's 6'8.
He's 6'8. Mm-hmm. And have you compared hands with him or anything else?
No.
No, I will hang up if this show goes in that direction.
Excuse me, sir. I don't have to.
Let's see.
In the house?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's like real. So their hands are the same size.
Yeah.
He's a little smaller.
Yeah, it's slightly smaller.
Slightly smaller.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're taller.
Here. We're right here,
you've
Jason.
Got mega hands.
He's got really hands big.
He's got really
your
big
hand
hands.
Is like, it's stretched. Good job.
Thank you, Jason Howell.
Thank you, producer Jason Howell, Mr. Ray Gunn.
Yeah, it's nice. We have people in house. It's really nice to have people around. It really is great.
Sorry, yes, Ms.
I'm sure our listeners really appreciated the hand comparison.
Especially the audio listeners.
But exactly. Actually, they're like,
if you're listening in audio, you're probably imagining giant hands. Yeah. Like, you know, the imagination.
You're not wrong.
And then
you're
I walked through the door.
You're not wrong. So this is it was a lost Pixel watch, was left in a bar or
like
something.
Like the iPhone.
Yeah. Except that seems a little far-fetched. I think probably intentionally left behind by a Googler. In fact, we know who left it behind now. I think they found out.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. But these are pictures from, I think it was Android Police that got the pictures. Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
It will be obviously Android Wear. Google, this is the thing that's amazing. Google's never made a watch. It stunned me.
No, tried Android Wear? Android Wear? It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I bought the first one.
You can tell Google's never made
Remember the Moto 360? I really liked it. I liked it.
It was nice.
I have the new Samsung Galaxy 4 Classic, which is that weird Android Wear / Samsung.
Tizen.
Tizen. But it's Android Wear, and it's quite good. So, big battery. The battery in my Galaxy Watch is 247 milliamp hours. According to 9to5 Google, 300 milliamp hours for the Google Pixel Watch.
But what does that mean in days, weeks?
Probably not more than all day battery life, really. You know. But
okay,
I don't know.
So
we'll see.
For people that want to get these watches and sleep in them for sleep tracking and things like that, what's the point?
So here's where I'm excited. Sorry, I'm interrupting. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. All I said was
the Nest.
Does not qualify for interruption. Okay. You can talk whenever you want.
Google has the Nest 2 hub with the Soli radar for sleep tracking.
Oh,
so it's possible Google could be like, hey, you get the watch, you get this guy, you charge your watch, this guy watches your sleep, you compile all the data, you get it, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, also... what a lot of people do with the Apple Watch, which also is only all day, is it charges fast enough that you could wear it all night and charge it while you shower and get ready for work and then put it back on.
That makes sense.
So they charge within under an hour.
Okay.
So I think that's another solution. So I read somebody said that of all the sleep trackers they tried, the Google Nest Hub was the best. You use that, right?
I don't have it. I'm not using it right now. But when I used it, it was very good with my... it compared well with my Fitbit.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to have the one with the camera?
No, it's with the Soli. They all have cameras.
No, I have one that doesn't have a camera, but it might have the Soli.
Oh, yeah. It's only sleep tracking one is the Nest Hub second generation. I can show it. Well, no, I can't.
Yeah, I see it. I have it right here on the. So that's not a camera. That's the Soli.
That's also a camera. No, the Soli, I think, is actually... one of the others.
Oh, okay.
Both of the others.
So
I can't remember.
So that's part of the problem is a lot of people don't want a camera in their bedroom watching them.
Fair enough.
But you can physically turn the camera.
And it will still work with this sleep sensing?
Yeah, because the sleep sensing solely is a radar.
Right.
So they're using RF, not a camera, to track your... It tracks your respiration.
Does it also record audio, too?
It does. It records.
Some of them, they want to listen.
It will know if you snore, right?
It tracks your snoring and it records it and does all of the data processing locally on the device.
Okay.
And then it'll just send you. And you can, I believe, store the recordings of your snores.
Okay.
But you don't, like, so if it hears other things in the middle of the night, like my dog's collar jingling, it did not pick that up. Or if it did pick it up, it didn't record it or do anything with it.
So I am going to...
Are you ordering it already?
Yeah, because I have so many sleep trackers, and I want to compare them. So I have the... Is the Serta or Beauty Rest or something sleep tracker that's from Motion X that's under the mattress, the paddle. I have my 8 Sleep mattress, which is
cover.
That's going to be like next to my, that should be the most accurate. I just ordered this. I thought I had it, but I guess I have the first generation. So I ordered the second generation to replace it. They're only $99. It's not huge.
You have to install Google Fit. Right now, you have to use Google Fit to get that data, so you know.
Got a Pixel 6.
I never liked the Google Fit app. Seems like all of the other third-party apps gave me more information than Google Fit did.
Oh, I like Google
Fit. Has it updated?
I've used it. I think Amazon Health, Google Fit, and Apple Health are all pretty comparable.
They're all okay.
But you're actually a fitness guy. You might have a different opinion.
I did not like Google Fit before.
Yeah, and it connect. The real key for me on all of these is that they connect with enough devices.
Yeah.
Because I have like all the different things that, you know.
And it's giving you a daily. Steps. See, it didn't do that before.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I should install
it. Well, but it tracks your steps and stuff only from your phone, not from your watch.
Well, it might if you had
So that's why we're getting excited. Right. But the other thing.
It doesn't Google work Fit, with a Fitbit?
You can pull in Fit. Actually, can you? For like the last time I checked, it would not let me do it.
That's sad. Well, now that
Google
owns
Fitbit. With my, this was right after they bought it, actually. But now that it does pull in my Nike training workouts, which I feel that are hardcore. Those workouts are hardcore enough for you, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you'd be like, oh, well, this is sort of challenging because they absolutely break my body. I'm just like,
I'm measuring my heart right now. But putting my finger on the camera.
That doesn't work.
Really? That doesn't work? No. Look, it looks pretty good. It's like a sine wave. It's pretty good.
Does it match your heart rate on your watch?
Well, I'm going to find out. See, that's why I want to try all these devices and see which is the most accurate. I also wear the Aura ring sleep tracking.
Yeah, is that your heart rate, man?
I'm doing a freaking TV show
now.
Would you ease up, please?
He's on air.
Well, that went
up. You're seated.
We're getting upset now.
You guys are so mean.
No, I'm worried about you, man.
Well, my resting heart rate's like 56, so don't worry about me. I'm okay.
Okay.
Oh, good. Nice.
I know it feels like I'm calm, cool, collected when I do these shows. I'm relaxed. But actually, this is hard work. You guys are tough. The watch says I'm 78.
How did
maybe
you track
I calmed
your
down
heart?
A little bit.
I just installed.
Oh, no. Now
Google
I just went
Fit.
Up to 81.
Blood pressure.
82. It's going up. Let's see. I think the Apple Watch has been the most accurate because I compare it with like one of those Polar straps. Which I think is right, you know, that's probably the most accurate.
Yeah.
And it's always the same as the Polar strap. So
nice.
I feel like the Apple Watch is very accurate. I've got the Aura ring. I've got, so many sleep trackers. And they all say something different.
And which is not good if it's supposed to be tracking one person.
Well, it makes you wonder, is this just a made-up number?
Whose algorithm is right?
Yeah, am I 80? Let me see what the...
I'm 58 right now.
58? You don't look a day over 70.
Oh, your heart rate?
That's not nice, Jeff.
I don't know how to track my heart rate on here. I have to figure that out.
Your heart rate is 58 right now?
I just took it, yeah.
That's not possible.
That's impressive. You are the coolest cat on
this
panel.
That's not that's like he's...
Well, because I'm bored by this talk because I'm not in shape, so I don't know what to do with it.
How can it be 58?
The next topic.
Well, I can try 63.
Yes, I am too high.
I'll try my cardio. Let's see.
Cardio. Yeah. Yeah, those are nice.
Oh, that's actually truly accurate.
A live core, right?
Oh, man. I didn't realize my heart rate was so high.
Yeah. Mine's 68 right now.
I got a dry cough. I got a bad heart rate. Yours is 68?
Yeah.
See,
but my resting heart rate's like 53.
People don't realize how hard it is to host a show with you clowns.
I know, you know, my heart rate when I'm on stage walking around giving a speech
for that amount of time,
it's sustained like at like 80.
Yeah. So that's,
but I have to stand up for that.
Well, I don't have to stand up.
Already is 59.
59. Wow, Jeff, I would
Jeff's
worry.
Just like,
that seems very calm. You
know, mine is higher than y'all's. Mine is 92.
See?
Right now.
He's working. That's why.
But I get excited.
No, you make it nervous, Leo.
I get excited. I get fired up being on the show.
Well, all right. Just start talking moral panic and then see what happens. I'll check it again.
Yeah, we'll check in on Jeff's heart rate later when we talk about it.
Do we think Google will announce a Pixel 6a?
Why not?
Wednesday?
You already hit it.
Sure.
Why not?
It's about that time, right? So a new phone and a new watch.
Jeff, you want to hope for your new notebook?
No,
Chromebook?
Not going to happen.
That's done.
I want Jeff to have something nice in his life. Okay?
Thank you.
And I'm assuming they're going to talk more about the air quotes improvements to the Android operating system.
Yeah, because we saw Android 13 start, the first preview of that come out last week.
Oh, you mean the one that started wiping phones?
Yeah.
That one?
Well, hey, look, you know, it shouldn't have to be said. If you are downloading the very first public beta, was it even a public beta or a dev beta? I think it was developer beta of an operating system. Mm-hmm. You're not putting that on your main phone, I hope.
Mr. Howell, I felt so bad.
Did it happen to Jason? Really? Jason? Oh, wow.
Well, Jason,
on your Pixel 6?
That's his job.
That's his job.
But dang.
So Pixel 6a, Pixel Watch. We had rumors last year that Google was going to announce a folding phone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it sounded last year like they were close to doing it. So you don't think so?
I think we would have heard something. I think we would have heard folding jokes. We heard something.
Yeah.
Didn't we get a folding phone leak of something just like yesterday?
We did? Oh, well, maybe I'll change my mind then.
But maybe it was a Samsung one. I just remember it was a folding phone leak.
Well, you have a folding phone, so you.
I do have a folding phone.
I thought it was. We saw in leaks in the like.
Oh
a
yeah, Google's first foldable. Code.
What does it say?
Are we asking?
Yeah, one day ago on TechAdvisor.
I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. Google's first foldable smartphone will have a rather compact cover display.
Okay. But we don't know when.
I don't
$1,400 bucks.
Care. Stop.
Last night, Jason's saying the guest on All About Android had a Pixel 6a case that was shipped to him by accident.
Whoops.
So that sounds like the 6a is definitely on for Wednesday. I'm sorry, but this is from Tom's Guide, Jeff. All the things Google will not announce on Wednesday, not in 2022, a Pixel Book, a Pixel Slate.
That face.
Nothing.
You're not traveling much yet, right?
No, but
he just wants
deck.
A nice working device.
I go out to the deck and work.
Yeah, he wants a nice working device.
Hey, do you think,
I mean, I have my Go.
I just,
it's nice. I like it.
I just did a dumb thing. No, I just bought a Google Nest Hub. 5 days a week before, they're probably going to ship a new one.
Brand new one. Here, cancel order.
Have you opened it yet?
Yeah.
Cancel. I just ordered it literally on the show.
Literally just ordered it.
Yeah, cancel order.
Oh, then I'm an idiot. Cancel order.
You got time.
You think I should?
Yes, please.
Yeah, wait a week, dude.
No, cancel it now.
But I want
it. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Also, if I order it now, it's more likely Google will update it on Wednesday. All right, let me cancel my order.
It's $100. You can always use another Google display.
They probably went, quick, ship it. Quick, before he changes.
We found a schmuck.
We found another one. Selecting a reason.
I'm a schmuck.
I'm a schmuck. Yeah, I never know what to say on the reason because it never matches my real reason, which is...
Well, plus, some of them are acceptable, too, so that's the other problem.
Okay, I canceled.
No, they're all acceptable, just some of them won't give you your money back.
Right,
that's true.
I canceled we're good. We're good.
Thank goodness.
So now, it's like Schrodinger's cat, because when I had ordered it, then it for sure meant they would announce something next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've canceled it. What has happened? Has it killed the Pixel Nest Hub?
They're probably going to just talk Waymo next week.
Waymo.
No.
Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that be funny? Let's talk about self-driving vehicles. It'd be so funny. Well, I'm excited. We haven't had a real Google I.O. in a while. We still can't gather.
It's
I have such fond memories of getting together, Jeff, with you and Gina Trapani at Google I.O. some years ago. That was so much fun. We used to battle over.
We did the whole show from
down
there.
Yeah,
I remember you guys broadcasting.
Jason's done that several years in a row with All About Android. Yep. So cross your fingers.
I like the dried fruit. Was very good. They had good chips.
Oh, God. Yeah, remember the first time they did it at Shoreline, they had like a whole campground set up with all these little tents and booths, and you got to choose a little button with your pronoun. It was great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You got a free phone.
Yeah, that was the good stuff.
I mean, I we're old enough to remember I.O. when, was it Chromebooks they gave out originally? With the applause from the Moscone Center.
Nexus 7s.
Yeah. I was like, I got the Nexus 2, Nexus 1, Nexus something that they handed out.
Yeah, I remember those.
Those were nice.
Google Cardboard caused much joy, even though it cost $1.98.
That was really fun, though.
Yeah.
And Cardboard used that to distract yourself while coming over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
So he assembled his cardboard. So in the What's New keynotes, which are after Sundar Pichai's keynote, they will be covering Android, Firebase, learn how to build and run apps users love with Firebase, Flutter, which is another nice cross-platform framework for developers, Web, learn how Google is investing in the web platform, AR, there's a lot of AR interest right now between Meta and Apple. I wonder if Google will respond to any of that. They've kind of had a rocky experience. Soli, which shows up in the Nest Hub, was their AR solution for the phone, but they decided not to put it in the phones. Google Play, Chrome OS, Google Home, and Google Pay. That pretty much covers it all. But, of course, there's no leaks about what they might announce. But I think that's a pretty good guess.
Wednesday.
Let's take a little break. Come back with more. It's great to have the gang all together again. Stacey Higginbotham from StaceyOnIoT.com. Aunt Pruitt from Hands On Photography. Jeff Jarvis from Craig Newmark.
From the loins thereof,
from the loins of Craig Newmark. Spring Jeff Jarvis with his heart rate well under 60. Our show today brought to you by privacy.com. I'll tell you what brings my heart rate up is buying something online with a credit card. And I can't even count the number of times that number's been stolen. And somebody else has bought something else, and I've had to cancel the card. That's a pain. You got to get a new card. For the last few years, I have, any time I'm buying online, used a card from privacy.com. Let me tell you why. Privacy masks your real bank information and creates virtual credit cards for your use online. There's two different kinds of cards. You can do a card that's locked into the merchant. So if I know I'm going to be buying from Amazon a lot, I'll actually create a card for Amazon with privacy.com. And then only Amazon can use it. No one else. Or you can make a burner card that can only be used once, period, by anybody. That really eliminates the risk. Plus, because your real bank information doesn't go to the vendor, your privacy is assured. You never have to worry about giving out not just your card number, but your name, address, and all that other information. Privacy is a tool that makes it easy to manage your financial life online while keeping all of your most important information secure. I just love privacy. I'll give you another great use case for privacy because you can pause a card or delete it anytime. Whenever I'm buying a subscription, a recurring purchase online, let's say I want to buy Adobe Creative Cloud, I use a privacy card locked into Adobe. I set the limit to how much they can charge. You can do it per charge, per month, or per year. And then if at any time I say, I want to cancel, and you know, a lot of times these companies make it really easy to subscribe and really hard to cancel, I don't have to worry. I pause the card. And that's it. They don't get another penny out of me. It makes it safe so they can't overcharge you. that, you know, they won't keep charging you after you don't want something anymore. It just blocks the charge. You always get a notification whenever the charge is blocked for whatever reason, whether it's because you paused the card or because the card number was stolen and somebody else tried to use it. So you always know what's going on with your card. A great way to do recurring payments and subscriptions online. They have a Firefox extension and a Chrome extension, so it's very easy to make a new card. You don't have to jump through a lot of hoops to do it. It's just very easy. You say, give me a new card. You got the number. You got the expiration date. You got the security code. And by the way, you can use with privacy any address you want. You could be John Doe at 123 Main Street, Anytown, USA. Oh, you figured out my secret address. And I use that with all the merchants.
Whoops.
Unless they're mailing me something, obviously. Although that guy at Anytown, USA is probably getting a lot of my stuff. He's probably getting a lot of junk mail. So that they don't see, you know, and privacy doesn't care what zip code or address they give it. They know it's you because you set the card up through them. It's a great way to share a card. So I wanted to send my mom a credit card because I want, you know, she's 89. She doesn't cook as much anymore. I wanted to buy her dinner once in a while. So I sent her a credit card. I said, Mom, you use this with whatever delivery service you like. Remember, once you use it with them, you can't use it with anybody else, but I'm buying dinner. And I get, by the way, I get a notification and I see it on my statement. You know, when she buys dinner, it makes me feel good. In fact, she told me the other day, she said, your sister's coming over. We're going to have hamburgers. I said, oh, that's great. She said, you're buying. I said, that's even better. I love that. And sharing it with her was so easy. I don't have to mail her a number and, you know, or text it to her. None of that's secure. You actually just create the card in privacy on the website and you say, share this. I give my mom's email address and that's it. They handle the rest. It's very easy. She doesn't have to have an account to use it. She's got everything she needs. I just love it. You get a full activity summary. You can tag purchases, so it makes it very easy to filter by date or by how much you've spent or by tag. It's great for budgeting. I just think this is a no-brainer, and I want you to do it. You should check out the various levels. There's a free level. Most people will want to use that. I actually pay for privacy. I have it's $10 a month because I get 1% back and I use it so much that it makes me money. It doesn't cost me money. Privacy.com/twig. Right now, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on their first purchase. Privacy.com/twig. Please use that address. That's how you get the $5, but also it's how you let them know you saw it here and it helps us. Privacy.com/twig. Huge fan. Use it all the time. Let's see here. Parliament has invited Elon to come visit.
That's funny, isn't it?
This is why Elon buys Twitter, right? It gives him a little cachet. Parliament wants him to discuss the future. Oh, maybe this is not... Maybe this is not
that much fun.
No, this kind of invite.
You're going to get rid of moderation? No. We're about to take you to the woodshed.
We are interested in the developments you propose. In particular, your intention to roll out verification for all users echoes our calls on the UK government as part of proposed legislation. He also wants to know about misinformation. It's Julian Knight, Member of Parliament, Chair of the DCMS Committee, the Digital Culture, Media and Sport Committee. We'd also like to know...
How do the jocks get into this?
How do you feel about cricket?
Wait a minute, why did the camera flip to me?
How do the jocks like this? Let's go to one. I therefore wish to take this opportunity to invite you to speak before our committee and discuss your proposals in more depth. I look forward to hearing your response and discussing your plans for the future of Twitter and committee in the near future. Yours sincerely, Julian Knight. Yes. Well, I don't know if Elon will accept, but...
I have my doubts.
He has the invite. Anonymous...
We haven't discussed the fee you're going to be paying for Twitter.
Well, he said a small fee for commercial and government users. But we already pay... I already pay $3. We all pay the Twitter thing, right?
I think it'd be a little less small than that, yeah, but...
You think it'd be more than...
Did he talk about it being, like, a set amount per follower count?
Oh...
Kind of like a MailChimp idea? Or did
That's
I just
not nice to call
that?
Him a chimp. He says slight Twitter fee for commercial users.
Like every 1,000 followers costs you $1 a month.
It doesn't say. I mean, okay, some revenue is better than none, he says.
So Nike.
I don't think he even knows about Twitter Blue.
No, he doesn't.
Even know about it. It's
like, good. Keep him away.
Hey, I don't know if anyone else knows about it either. It's just the four of us supporting all of Twitter. Of us.
Ixnay on the Ublé.
I think all of this is because he needs to raise money because his stake in the $44 billion, which is $21 billion.
Well, he's reducing that now. He's trying to get other people in.
Yeah, he's got to get people to lend him money because he doesn't have $21 billion in cash. So I think that's why he's saying things like, we could go public in 3 years and we're going to develop new ways to monetize tweets. He also says we'll crack down on executive pay to slash costs. I think there's a legitimate and serious concern that he's also going to lay off a lot of people.
It's business.
And the wrong people. By that, I mean the functions that
the moderators
doesn't care about.
Yeah.
Journalism relationships, that kind of stuff will go.
Oh, no more Twitter.
Thank you.
I was like, we're getting into it. Didn't y'all get into it last week?
Yeah. He was at the Met Gala. Will that make you happy? You want to see his outfit?
Ugh.
No.
He's wearing, looks like white tie.
That was the theme, or not the theme.
The theme was Gilded Age, but he took it pretty seriously.
The dress code was white tie. Ryan Reynolds was also wearing white tie.
Oh, okay. You know what, Elon, get a tailor. The collar is way too big. Your neck's rattling around in there.
Well, they were out of them at the rental place. You know, they just didn't have a size. That's right.
Richest man in the world can't get a fitting suit. It looks, this is very haughty. Who's he with? Who's that? It's not Grimes. Oh, Mom. Oh, isn't that sweet?
No, certainly not Grimes, yeah.
Well, you never know. Somebody said, I thought he looked like a conductor. Anyway, there you go. That's Elon Musk at the Met. See? That's nice. That's nice with his model mother. Speaking there, he said that the reach of Twitter is only niche, but he wants a much bigger percentage of the American population to be on it.
Well, having everybody yell at everybody is not the way to do that, Elon.
That's the thing. I don't think people understand that moderation is the key to growing. You can't have a
yes.
If you just let everything go, it's 4chan, and 4chan is not big. It's full of awful people who can say anything they want, and it is not a successful enterprise in any respect. They don't make any money.
Maybe he'll talk to the Reddit people because they've done a pretty decent job of corralling the uncorralled.
I love Reddit. It's my social network. I read it more than anything. What is it that makes Reddit work? Because there's bad.
They do have moderation.
They have moderation. Yeah.
Well, community, it's varying moderation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's each community sets the standard.
So it's kind of like federation.
Very rarely.
Federation.
Very rarely do community level. There was actually a really interesting article on Slate about how the prepper community kept downvoting women's issues that women think about for prepping, right? So things like birth control after the zombie apocalypse, right? Like, how do you manage that? And they were like, not important. So then the women just were like, well, screw this. And they created their own prepper community. So that's
it's Walking Dead. We're seeing it before our very eyes. They're going to go and war each other. That'd be fun. It'd be a good show.
I think actually, though, you nailed it, which is that each section is moderated separately with its own rules. And I only follow
that are appropriate.
I only follow subreddits that I like. Mm-hmm. And if it's out of control, I don't follow it. So much more so than anything else, because Reddit, unlike Twitter or Facebook or anybody else, doesn't push subreddits into your face that you aren't a member of, right? You see just what occasionally they'll promote it. I always turn that off when they have, hey, here's a subreddit you might, and I turn that off immediately. So you only see what you want to see. So it's very much,
it's like Usenet, but
curation.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we know how hard it is to do a social network without moderation. Usenet went down in flames for a while, literally in flame wars.
Well, I had to for the book. I had to add in something about the well, and I was never a well guy. I thought they were a bunch of snots.
Hey,
but I was I on didn't the whale. Really,
I don't even know what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah. The whole Earth electronic link. It was run out of a little houseboat in Sausalito for some years. Very big with the Digirati in the Bay Area. Stuart Brand started it. Okay. It was. What did you say about it in your book?
Well, no. The fascinating thing about it, I was talking about the lessons learned in the early days of the internet. And so I put that in there. Plus, the reviewer of my manuscript thought it would be good to talk about it, and I think he was right, so I did. What I didn't realize was, number one, Wired called it the most influential network on Earth, and it had only 10,000 members.
So yeah, it was really
Twitter?
Small.
And it was really small.
Yeah, no, and it was, but it was influential people for its time.
Oh yeah. And they made they made it free.
That's
for
right.
journalists.
That's right.
But what was fascinating about it was I didn't realize that there was a case. Katie Hafner, I think, wrote about this. She wrote a book, I think, later.
Where the Wizards Stayed Up Late was her book about the internet. Where Wizards Stayed Up Late.
And she wrote about the well, and there was really bad trolling, not just kind of generic. People coming in now and getting.
Oh, she wrote a book on the well. You're right. I did not read this. I have to get this book.
And so they came in, and there was one guy who died.
What?
Kind of on the
from
well.
Trolling?
No, wasn't he get killed? No.
Oh, okay.
And he had a relationship with a woman on the well, and it turned bad, and they each had problems, and it was a very early example of trolling and the problems. That if you don't watch it.
Yeah.
The well was famous for saying, you could read this three ways, you own your words.
Right.
That was, you have the copyright to them. It was also early Section 230. Hey, not our problem. You better watch it out. But it also said you're responsible for them, which I liked that as a motif that Facebook should have said from the beginning. Twitter should have said.
By the way, the well still exists. It's not the same.
Oh, yeah.
It's well.com.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on the well for a few years, and it was weird.
Never heard of this.
But it's the first experience I had of the internet, because you could drop through the well software into the internet. So it's how I got online on the internet.
Cool.
I'm going to have to read Katie's book. By the way, speaking, I did not... This is a sign of the times. Marques Brownlee was at the Met.
Well, where were you, Leo?
Good on him.
And that is not a white tie. It is a black tie. It's not a white tie. But he looks pretty darn good.
Good on him.
Yeah.
It's been
great. Wow.
Dude, girl.
That's a sign of the times, right? That a YouTube star is at this.
A geek YouTube star, even that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the geek YouTube. I mean, because there's been influencers. The Met is co-sponsored by Instagram.
Yeah.
So there have been influencers there.
Oh, it is co-sponsored by Instagram. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Cool.
I'm just adding
a
little
masterclass now, by the way.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
He is a star. I can't believe we had the temerity to offer him a job. And
Did he even respond?
Yeah, he said, well, I'd like to keep going to college. Thank you very much. But what he was thinking is, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And he's still fully independent, right? He still owns his...
Oh, yeah. He's doing very well, too. Yeah. He barely gave us the time of day at CES. He said
well,
hi
he
to
was
you.
With, yeah, he was with that crowd. They were herding him and a couple other
people.
But he
knew around,
but
he
did stop and speak with me for a second.
Yeah, he knew you were. Yeah. No idea who I was.
He didn't know who I was. I'm some old bald dude. Saying, hey, young man, I like your tech videos.
I have really big hands. You should wave at me.
Here is, this is what my two favorite people, the stars of Succession, wore to the Met Gala.
Wow. Wow.
Wow is right. Holy cow.
Oh, the fingernails, too.
Look at the hand. Yeah. That's Kieran Culkin, who plays Roman Roy, the youngest scion of the...
They killed
Roy
those
Empire.
Parts, man. They
and
so
Kendall,
good.
Kendall yeah. Roy on the left there. I can't remember the actor's name, but he's great.
Jeremy
Brown.
Strong.
Strong, that's right.
Is
he wearing just like a bunch of bottle caps on his lapels?
Yeah, it's a really weird outfit.
Like,
I think it's,
what's going on there?
I think it's like a little bit like a teenager saying, okay, if you want, I'll wear a white tie. Okay, if you make me. Okay.
Did you order your your new selfie drone yet?
I did. I ordered two.
Two?
Please no.
So wow. Aunt can have one?
Please well, no. so Snap is selling something called the Pixie drone. $230 selfie drone. It's kind of a neat idea. Why are you skeptic? You like real
drones. I'm not
drones,
at all. Yeah. I'm not. I was
no, I no, no. But Ant's going. Oh, no, no, no. And Ant, you have to understand. I cannot. I'm not allowed to operate a drone.
No, you are not. But
so this is a drone. I don't have to operate. I don't know exactly how it works, but I get the impression you just kind of throw it.
Well, they've got a video showing how to do it.
Oh, all right. Let's do it. Here.
I just don't think this is worth $230.
Well, that was the funny thing, because then the chat room said, oh, don't get that. There's another selfie drone does exactly the same thing for half the price.
Right. It's not that's not worth $230, that tech that they're touting.
So I bought the other one, too, and we're going to do a head-to-head, and you're going to be the guy in charge, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to be...
And another thing, here in Petaluma, you go outside. You see how windy it is every daggum day?
No, but this
here?
Should work just fine, because I can't control it. So the idea is you release the drone, and it has three modes. One is it takes a selfie. One is it follows you around, and one it kind of goes around you, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just hold out your hand, and it lands in your hand after taking the picture.
No, it's like a pet.
Look, watch. So she's. I don't know how she gets it to launch. Oh, she presses a button. Okay.
All of that is great, just not $230. It's not.
You think that's too expensive? How much did you spend for your most recent drone?
For something like that, $100, $150.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get the best of image quality. It's.
But it's yellow.
It's going to bust.
One of the questions is if you can post it to something besides Snapchat, or can it only go to Snapchat?
And that would be no.
It's just, so the other one I got, you can post to anything. Probably this.
Oh, well, that's probably more practical.
Yeah. It's the same model of thing. Probably it's from the same.
I'm sure.
You know what, Aunt? I would just say to you, remember the flip camera.
Oh, and boy. Was that a life changer, right?
I mean, it was easy and you could just. So this is like makes drones and turns it into kind of something so easy that you can just use whenever you want. So I agree with you that it's not like the best.
Yeah, but drones are already pretty easy to use now at that price point that are way better quality at that price point.
My question is, do I have to learn how to twerk?
Why? Well, please don't.
What were you saying, Mrs. Higginbotham?
But I want to be an influencer, don't I have to do the influencer little dances like she's doing? Okay.
Oh, gosh.
I think this is going to be super cool. I'm hoping it comes in time for our Alaska cruise with Paul Theroux, because I'm going to do a lot of
pictures. The battery on that. How many batteries are you going to have with you? Because you know that's not going to fly for more than 10 minutes tops.
Well, that's fine. How many selfies can a guy take?
Yeah.
Right? There's one. The other one that I got has a little battery thing pouch you stick it in that charges it some more. What's the name of that other one?
I think this will be a good present for Christmas of 2022. And I say this because we're going to get a lot more awareness from it now.
Okay.
We're going to be actually out in public with places. And I'm thinking about for kids and like for people who just want to have, and the price point will come down, or we'll find one. And for like $150 to give someone like a little drone. And I know they've been out for a while.
Well, get this instead.
Times Square with it.
They're apparently quite. Yes, exactly. Won't that be fun? So this is airselfiecamera.com. This is only $150. Okay. And doesn't it look exactly the same? I think it's probably the same hardware, right? Does the same kind of thing.
That's what I'm saying. You can. That's a more reasonable price for that piece of equipment.
2K HD video. Okay. I don't know how
30 frames per second. That's good. All of that's legit.
12 megapixel camera,
not
274 degree field of view, so it's slightly wide. Can go 60 feet. These things weigh nothing. Less than 2 ounces.
Yeah.
So I can just have it.
I could carry them in my hands with my floppy wrists.
With your floppy
wrists, and I wouldn't suffer.
Well, anyway, I ordered one of each. There are. Turns out I didn't know this because I was so impulsive. But there's quite a few selfie drones in the world.
There are.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why I feel like the Snap Pixie is kind of fun, because it could kind of drive attention. Like, there's nothing right now, like, they exist, but no one's really using them or excited about them. And I think something like this might help with that.
Well, and federal law prohibits me from operating a drone. But this way, I'm not actually operating itself. I couldn't possibly.
It's operating itself.
It's operating itself. Yeah. It couldn't possibly screw it up.
Well, Judge, I was not operating.
No.
It was all on its own. I know it hit that kid in the eye, but I didn't do it.
It's 13 weeks out. So I'm not going to get it probably till August. So it'll be a while. But
I love drones, and this sounds fine. They just overpriced it for what it's capable of.
So
delivering.
You're not a drone snob or a snow drop. It's not that you're snobby about it. It's just you think it's too high.
It's overpriced for what it's going to offer you. Do you see those tiny sensors, image sensors, and
it's not
going to
be great.
Quality you're going to get?
Well, it'll be like, you don't think it'll even be camera phone quality?
No.
Oh.
Most of the time.
Do you know
not.
What we're sticking in our camera phones today?
That's
good
true.
Lord.
Okay.
I was like, this couldn't run that kind of processing power even if it wanted to.
Yeah. But. All right. Well, I want to say I was the sucker.
It's another $239 you've wasted.
I did it for you. I'm going to get both of them. You can review them. We can review them together, whatever you want.
Yeah. Here's the headline. Don't buy this thing.
I'm excited. I will look forward to that review because I'm eager to see.
I think this would be a good thing for gift for your kid, but don't get the Pixie. Get the other one because it looks exactly the same.
All right. Now, did they mention any type of AI for recognizing pets?
Pets? No, this is for your influencer channel.
Oh, okay. Well, pets are influencers.
Well, pets are influencers, yeah.
Yeah, my niece has an influencer dog. It has a cereal box ad.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Your niece's dog is on a cereal box?
Yes.
What cereal?
Magic Spoons.
Oh, I like Magic Spoon.
What the heck?
Wow. Magic Spoon is the keto cereal.
Yeah, they're not on the box. They did some photo with the box with the dog. I don't remember what.
It's like an ad because they're doing a lot of ads. Yeah, because the box has a cartoon on the cover. Well, that's pretty cool.
Outstanding.
That's really cool. Yeah. See? Magic Spoon. It tastes like styrofoam, but it is keto. So.
Oh, so it's legit.
And it costs like $40 a box.
Okay, so it is legit keto. Okay, a lot of stuff has a keto name on it, and it's not
sort of keto. It's 5 net carbs, no sugar. Most of the carbs are fiber.
Okay.
It's high protein.
Okay.
But like I said,
this is the selfie drone of cereals.
It's the selfie drone of cereals. Oh, they got more flavors, though.
If it doesn't taste good, it's probably keto.
Yeah.
Bacon tastes delicious.
When I was keto, I ate it because I thought, well, I should have a treat, but. Anyway, Apple's interesting. People coming back to work, right? Maybe this is a premature. We're still waiting to see the COVID levels are starting to spike in areas like where you are, Jeff.
Yep, it is.
They're spiking here, sir.
Are they spiking here now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are going to an indoor concert tomorrow. Is that a mistake?
Yeah. I have no comment.
Are you going to wear your mask?
I'm going to wear a mask now, yeah. Yes, I am. We're going to see.
Julie Ioffe got her third case of COVID at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah, we all knew that was going to happen. They were on stage joking about it. I'm like,
yeah, super spreader event.
I was like, germs don't recognize irony, y'all.
N95, sir.
Yeah, well, I'll wear a mask. N95. Thank you for the suggestion. Because I don't want to bring it back. And a lot of people I know are starting to get it. So maybe it is.
Yeah.
In any event.
I know more people now who have it than I've ever
Me too. Heard. Me too. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I still haven't gotten it. You haven't gotten it? Jeff, you haven't gotten it? You haven't gotten it? Stacy?
Knock wood.
We're all the paranoid types, I guess.
Fortunately.
I live in a cave.
Oh, that's it. We don't go anywhere, right?
Yeah,
I
so
places.
We are asking. Yeah, you are going to be in Vegas next week. Will you wear a mask?
Not when I'm on stage, everywhere else. Yeah.
I'm usually outside when I go somewhere.
I think you're safe on stage.
I'm usually fine outside.
Yeah, outside.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the ventilation and the hotel.
We haven't been to an indoor concert in 2.5 years, so this will be interesting.
Who are you going to see?
Ann Wilson of Heart
and Sundar Pichai.
No.
This Week in Google.
She's going to sing Crazy on You. Anyway, it's going to be fun tomorrow for Cinco de Mayo, but maybe now I have, well, we'll see. I promise to test before I come back.
Enjoy it in 95.
But what I was saying is people are starting to come back to work, except they don't want to in many cases. Now the estimate is as many as half of the Apple employees who've been told they have to come back to work at least several days a week, at least half of them are thinking of quitting. That's quitting fair. Their job at Apple rather than come back to the office.
That's nothing wrong with
they
that.
They can get jobs elsewhere.
If they can get another gig somewhere
they
else.
They probably can,
yeah.
Right?
You know, hey, they
I think they're hoping that if...
Best value for
if
themselves.
If they say that, then maybe Apple will rethink it. They should. Apple, like many companies, says, no, we got to all be together for the collaborative aspect.
No.
They actually have legitimate, because they develop hardware and because they've got such a culture of secrecy, they kind of do have a legitimate... Yeah.
That's
argument
true.
For putting people in place
that's true.
In an office.
But there was a really good BBC comedy show that, you know, people who have been spending the last 2 years staring at a screen in their home are now ordered to come back to a larger building to stare at a screen.
Exactly. And to spend hours of their day driving to and from and many, many dollars on gas.
Yep.
I understand why. Yep. Airbnb just said, you know what? You don't ever have to come back.
It's a good policy.
I think this is smart.
I get why some people want you to be on site for certain tasks or duties or whatever, but the world has proven to us over the last 2 years that most of these on-site jobs were not required. So much business was still able to get done from the comfort of your couch.
Yeah.
Bed or wherever
your home office
Well
and they're redesigning, like, there's been enough stories now about like home builders and talking about like how homes are shifting because more people are going to work from home.
Well,
and I do think
rooms, right?
Yeah, smaller private rooms, more flexible space. I mean, our guest room is also my husband's office, so
and I know I'm different from most people, but when I was working in a day-to-day job in an office, I hated being there because I couldn't get anything done because of all of my coworkers.
Yeah.
As bad as that sounds.
They come over and they say, hey, what's
I never
you
got
doing?
Any of my work done because people kept visiting all the time. And my superior at the time was like, wow, I got this email from you at 11 o'clock at night. Thanks. Why are you working? And I'm like, because it's the only time I could get something done. And then that discussion later turned into, why not you just stay home? And I'm like, thank you. This works. And I worked from home for most of my professional career. And I loved it.
So Airbnb has an interesting twist on this, too. So that you can work anywhere in the country you want. You can go into an office or not. But you can also work up to 90 days a year in any of 170 countries.
Nice.
Very, very Airbnb, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess just places where you probably can't get arrested for working there, like Russia.
Right.
You can't go to. But,
right.
But
why would you
really
want to?
Cool.
You go to Barbados. That's where I'd be right now. If I work for Airbnb, but my boss won't let me leave the office.
20 it? Plus countries offer remote work visas, and more are in the works.
Barbados is one of them.
We killer for Airbnb's business.
One of our sponsors, I won't say who, but he was in Barbados for at least a year on a special visitor visa for COVID.
Wow,
loved it. The internet's very good there. They all speak English.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's not in the hurricane zone.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you can get
it's
the gig,
hurricane.
You know,
well,
again, the folks at Apple, if you can find another gig that's going to give you the quality of life that you feel you've earned, then go for it. Tell Apple to kick rocks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Phoenix Warp says he annoys his coworkers by listening to Twit at the office. I'm sorry, Phoenix Warp. I know who you work for, too. Let's take a little break. We have lots more big announcement from T-Mobile. They had a big event today. We'll talk about that. Actually, I want to ask Stacey a little bit about it because it's kind of an IoT story. But first, a word from Red Hat and their newest podcast, Compiler. We've talked about Compiler before. It's a really cool idea. It comes to you from the makers of Command Line Heroes, another one of our sponsors, another podcast I love listening to. This new one, Compiler, is hosted by Angela Andrews and Brent Simoneau. And it's a brilliant idea, and I can just see them coming up with this. So Red Hatters, you know, Red Hat, which is one of the great Linux distros, it's a great company to work for. They do wonderful stuff. Red Hat has an internal, as many companies do, kind of in company forums, where they have fascinating discussions. When you get a bunch of smart people talking about stuff, it's fascinating. And I think they said, you know, this should be a podcast, because essentially each episode covers a big question in technology, and then they ask different Red Hatters what they think. What are tech hiring managers looking for? Or a good one, do you have to know how to code to get started in open source? Or how much should managers be coding? Do you need to code if you're a manager? Episode 2, what can video games teach us about edge computing? The internet is, of course, a patchwork of international agreements and all kinds of infrastructure. But there's something coming to change the way we connect. In this episode of Compiler, hosts explore what edge computing could mean for people who enjoy video games and what this form of entertainment could teach us about the technology. And actually, I was really thrilled to listen to this because this is something I've been saying for a while, is that this gaming at the edge is really just the predecessor to computing at the edge. That I cannot imagine Microsoft at some point won't just say, hey, don't buy Windows, don't buy, just run it on your cheap, low and slow hardware on your Chromebook or whatever. We'll manage it. We'll run it out of our... So I can't wait to, you know, see what the Red Hatters think about this, because, of course, you could do the same thing with Linux. Episode 9, how are tech hubs changing, is right up the alley of what we were just talking about. Used to be you'd have to move to a tech hub, right, if you wanted to work in technology. But nowadays, you could be in Barbados. So for this episode, the hosts of Compiler speak to a few of the change makers who are thinking outside of the physical and social dimensions we've come to associate with innovation. So these are new episodes. I loved the first season, new episodes of Compiler. You can go to Red Hat's website, red.ht/twit. That's the short form, red.ht/twit. You can go and listen there. But, of course, you probably should just subscribe in your favorite podcast client. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, listen to Compiler. Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere. And we'll put a link just to make it easy on this episode's show page as well at Twit. Thank you, Compiler, for making a great... I'm always interested to hear what other people are doing.
You think managers should know how to code? I remember having this discussion.
I think they should have been coders at some point, but the thing they talk about in the episode is fascinating. Some managers say, fine, I don't have to do this anymore, but some of them say, get out of my way, and this is where you got to watch out. Uh-huh. Get out of my way. Let me write that, right? Terrible idea. Don't do it.
Yep.
That was a fascinating conversation, and I think the idea of not having to be in San Francisco or Austin or New York City to participate in the tech revolution is a big, big idea. That's an episode of
You mean I can be in Calhoun Falls, South Carolina?
You have to sit right here next to me. Don't you be going anywhere. Where would you go? Calhoun Falls?
Calhoun Falls, South Carolina.
It sounds like something from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, it's about as big as this TD booth.
If you could be anywhere, that's where you would be, Calhoun Falls?
No.
Where would you be if you could be anywhere?
Right here.
Okay, thank you. Right, good answer. Stacy, if you could be anywhere, would you be in, you know, on the island?
No. I would be in a Waffle House.
Yes. Good answer. And you know, they never close. They never close.
I love Waffle House. Oh.
How come the Welcome to Calhoun Falls sign is a gravestone? That seems kind of... kind of counterproductive.
Fatalistic.
It's the gateway to Lake Russell.
Oh, man, he pulled up Calhoun Falls on Twig.
I did.
Oh, boy.
Have you been to the Blue Hole?
I have not.
Richard B. Russell Lake and Dam Overlook.
Calhoun Falls is a town that I have driven through in a matter of seconds.
There's only 1,800 people in Calhoun Falls. Tiny, it's a tiny little town.
Oh, that's smaller than my town.
What are the restaurants there? I want to look this up. Can we go to Google Maps and see what's
apparently only three destinations. The Blue
is
Hole.
Is there a Waffle House?
You know what? I bet there is a Waffle House.
Definitely not. No, definitely
we don't have Waffle Houses out here. Do you miss Waffle Houses?
Yes, I do.
I have never been to a Waffle House. All we have is IHOP. And I don't think that's the same as a Waffle House.
No, dude, when I went back to visit my mom, was it last year or year before last? I went to the Waffle House. I took my uncle to the Waffle House with me. Was that scene? And
what makes it so good?
It's just because they cook in lard.
Lard.
Yeah.
The secret is lard.
They cook in lard. But I remember sitting there and just having a good time talking with him. And they brought the bill out. And the bill was like $25.
Oh, nice.
And I'm
lard's
like,
cheap.
Oh, man. I missed this stuff.
So the nearest Waffle House.
I was
going to
say, that's a high-end bill right there. How many people do you have?
Yeah,
the nearest Waffle House to me to us is Goodyear, Arizona.
It was
we have to go to Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona.
So is there a Waffle House? There's not one in Seattle either, I'm sure.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. No, I don't
it's a southern. It's more of a southern thing.
They cook in lard, and they give you the pecan pie. Yes, I said pecan.
Oh, I love pecan pie, baby.
And they put a little butter on the top.
Oh, butter. Well, there's not enough fat on your pecan pie. You got to put butter on it.
Oh, my gosh. That's the best egg I've eaten.
Wait a minute.
You know, pecan pie isn't fatty. Pecan pie is just sugary.
Sugary. Sugar.
Cook it in Karo.
Oh, that's right. It's all Karo. That's right. Yeah.
You heard the John Oliver Waffle House joke?
No.
Oh, let's see if we can find it.
Chicken Ear 21. Yes. Apple butter. Yes. Apple butter.
There is a something called the Waffle House Index. You know about that, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows about that.
Because Waffle Houses never close.
Right.
They're open 24/7. If a Waffle House is closed, that means there's a disaster. So there's three levels on the Waffle House Index. Green, where there's a full menu, means the restaurant has power and damage is limited. Yellow, limited menu, means no power, only power from a generator. Food supplies may be low. Red, the restaurant's closed, indicates severe damage or severe flooding.
It's usually flooding.
This is all that's left of a Waffle House in Biloxi, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina.
Biloxi.
Jeez. Yeah.
Biloxi, that's where all my family's from.
Really?
Poker town.
Every single member of my family.
I'm sure they've rebuilt the Waffle. Really? So sorry. So was that the hardest hit by Katrina?
Yeah, that's where Katrina made landfall.
Oh,
I know that Louisiana had, you know, New Orleans had their issues, but Biloxi's where it hit.
The amazing thing is this Waffle House was only yellow. It wasn't red.
Right.
They were still giving you some food.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're right there in the thick of things from a hurricane.
So I am like, this show has taught me about Popeye's fried chicken. About Waffle
You've never
houses.
Had Popeyes?
I have now.
He has now.
Thanks to Ant convincing me.
Did you bring him a biscuit?
The chicken bolus.
No. The chicken bolus.
He went to get the chicken sandwich.
You ever been to a Stuckey's?
I did not go to a Stuckey's.
Okay.
Did not go to a Stuckey's. I've seen it though.
FEMA actually uses the Waffle House Index unofficially, but they do use it, which is wow. Wow. Concede defeat, says Jeff Jarvis.
Oh.
Time to surrender.
Wake up, Jeff.
Wake up, Jeff. Get that heart rate up to 70.
Yeah.
Jeez.
65.
65. Says concede defeat to bad speech. What do you mean, Jeff?
Just that it's always going to be around. We're putting all this resource and all this effort into it. It's getting all the attention. It's thus doing the job of the bad guys. We're painting good speech on the internet with the tar of bad speech. We should be putting resources into finding good speech.
I completely agree with you. Wow. Okay. I think you're right. I think we're overreacting to disinformation, bad speech.
Check your pulse.
Don't get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. Still worry about disinformation, but treat it like spam.
Yeah.
It's just going to be there.
It's going to be there.
Ignore it.
We're never going to defeat spam.
Exactly.
It's a human condition.
I disagree in the sense that there's so many, if you have bad speech with an agenda, So you think about like the bot armies that China and Russia, and probably, to be honest, we probably do it too in other places. Mm-hmm. I think that no amount of just ignoring that or ignoring that is kind of silly and naive. And, you know, we kind of ignore like things like QAnon, and those have unfortunately real world impacts because they still reach so many people. And so I agree that we should be promoting good speech, but I also think that's kind of what we're doing with some of the things like, remember the COVID-19 banners? I think they're still around for some sites. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Jeff, but I'm also like, I don't think that's enough.
Yeah, I'm not saying you get rid of the efforts. There's so many efforts going on. They're not going to go away. They're there. But now let us turn some resource and attention to promoting good speech, but also supporting it, right, as art. The story I always love to tell about this, and I'm telling it in my book coming out next year, is that in 1470, a decade and a half after Gutenberg Niccolo Perotti said to the Pope, you've got to appoint a censor because this you've got to approve the stuff of the press. It's all a mess. But he wasn't asking for a censor. He was asking for quality control. He was asking for editors and publishers. He was asking for new institutions that didn't exist at the time to try to support and assure quality. When Harper's came out in 1850, they kind of did the same thing. They said, oh, there's so much stuff coming out now because of faster presses and we got tons of content. We're going to create a whole magazine that's going to try to bring you the best of it. That's what I'm trying to suggest here. And until we start trying to promote art and intelligence, we're not going to get any of it. So I'm just trying to urge investment there too. That's it.
Okay. I think you're right. I do. I think this is it's a specific instance of a kind of a larger case where we sometimes miss the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Where we get so concerned with something else, it distracts us from, I think that a lot of the respects, a lot of the complaints about the internet in general, this is, I'm starting to turn into Jeff Jarvis. distract us from the benefits the because we're so ready. Worried about trying to do something about the harms.
Which we're not going to ever, I mean, Stacey's absolutely right. We can't completely ignore them. We can't take down. It would be like saying, no. Matt Cutts, don't bother with spam anymore.
No.
We're gonna ignore it. No, you still got to do what we do.
You point them out. You point it out. Yeah, you point it out. You say, yeah, that's. It's kind of like, and this seems discredited now, that the old antidote to bad speech was more speech. Right.
I don't think it's discredited at all. I mean, it's Brandeis. It was the best proponent of that. And in fact, I was just editing that chapter where I mentioned three efforts to disagree with that and say, well, it's just proven. No, I don't think in the long run that's true. I read Areopagitica, the famous defense of free speech, that argues that in the long run, the truth will out. In the short run, it won't. I quote a book from the 1970s where Rabbi Lelefeld, the father of a famous New York Times journalist, said that in the short run, truth won't win either. But in the long run, it will. And we've got to try to keep that in mind, not to give up now, but to try to put our resources and our attention to what's good, or else we're just not going to get it. That's all.
It has been used in some negative ways. Clarence Thomas cited Brandeis's counter speech passage when he... in Lorillard versus Riley, when he invalidated a number of restrictions on tobacco advertising, Thomas said, if the state of Massachusetts' concern is that tobacco advertising communicates a message with which it disagrees, it should seek to counteract that message with, and then quoting Brandeis, more speech, not enforced silence. That's an example where I agree with Stacey. You know, the tobacco advertising, you could stop that. You could stop that. Mm.
So Tim Wu asked whether the First Amendment is obsolete. That scares me.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Phil Napoli, who's an academic I respect a great deal, wrote a paper saying, what if more speech is no longer the solution, just to this point? My online friend Ian Bagost, who's brilliant, is Washington University now, wrote a piece in The Atlantic saying, What if people shouldn't say it so much and shouldn't say it to so many so often? And I get that. That's a point of advice. Like, do you really need to add a hot take? Though I find it ironic this comes in the Atlantic, which is nothing but a hot lava flow of hot takes. But anyway, yeah, we've got to meter what we do as well online. Yet, where are the patrons of the arts in this world? Right? Where are we going to get more TikTok musicals to irritate Ant? That's what I want. No.
Is it binary like that? Is it like...
No.
You have free speech or you have... It's not binary.
Crap. No, not at all. It's just that we are so monomaniacal right now about all the bad stuff that we're giving attention to the bad guys, which is what they want.
It's what they want.
Playing in their hands. And we're harming the freedoms of the internet overall is my fear. You know that about me. But again, it's kind of about investment. Where's the person who's going to support? So the press comes out, and there's a lot of junk in the world, but who's supporting Michelangelo?
Right.
You know, that's all.
But Stacey, are you worried that that kind of doctrine is going to encourage just more hate speech?
I'm not worried about hate speech. I'm worried about weaponized misinformation.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. That's what I'm worried about. I mean, I'm sad about hate speech as a person.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, especially as a woman, I mean, you are much more the target of this than any guy online.
Yep.
And as a black person, you're probably much more the target than any white person online. So mm-hmm. I can understand how if you're the target of this stuff, you might say, well, we got to do something.
All right.
It's easy for me to say, oh, yeah, and Jeff, two old white guys to say,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, go ahead. Let a thousand flowers of it bloom. But,
and I think I would say, and I don't know how Ant would respond, but like if I received a lot of hate speech on Twitter, which I don't.
You don't, actually, which is weird.
Don't encourage it.
No, I'm
right.
Not,
I'm okay with that. Nobody needs to.
Yeah.
But if I received it, I would just leave Twitter. And presumably, I mean, would I be sad not sharing pictures of my dog with everybody? Sure. Would it have a noticeable impact on my business?
It might.
Probably not. No.
It has promotional value.
It has promotional value. But, I mean, worst case scenario, I could always, you know, I have a bot account if I wanted to do that or something.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would just basically, you know, I would basically tweet out only my stories and not engage with people. And that would be that.
But that's what a lot of the bigger companies are doing anyway. You look at somebody like Nike. Yeah, that's the first company that comes to my mind. They have a Twitter account, Facebook account or whatever. And they post something. Hey, we stand with so-and-so. Or hey, this is the new shoe. And then they're done. They're gone. They don't come back and do comments. They don't do anything like that. It's just sort of just...
Well, and that was Elon Musk complaining about the top 10 Twitter users like Taylor Swift. She just promotes. She doesn't hang around.
Why should she? She's just going to get attacked.
She has no...
There's no...
If he wants her to engage, he needs to set up some different rules.
Yeah.
I mean...
She's just going to get attacked.
That's not the real Twitter.
Also...
That's a mass way to look at it, as if you've got to have 80 million people to be real. No.
And Taylor Swift probably doesn't want to engage on Twitter because why would you want to talk to that many people? You would never.
Yeah. Breaking news.
We were going to talk about T-Mobile. No, we're not.
Yes, I will get to that, but this is breaking news. T-Mobile's is also, but less important. Cameo just laid off, according to Yanko Rutgers, writing a protocol. Your friend,
Yanko,
who's great cover of media. He was at Variety. I'm glad to see he's gone to Protocol.
Protocol's fire. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
He was one of the original Protocol employees.
Was he? Oh, he went back then.
No, he's been at Protocol for...
Yes, because they're new. That's right. Yeah. Relatively new. Cameo lays off close to 90, including the CPO, CTO, and VP of marketing. Cameo, I don't know how you lose money on this. They are the company that charges... Yeah. That lets celebrities come there to charge, you know, $50, $100, $500 to do quick greetings.
Yep.
It was huge during the pandemic.
Well, that's probably your answer.
Yeah.
We get tired of things. It was cute for a while, but then Rudy Giuliani shows up. There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, this is what they're saying. Stephen Galanis, the CEO, says, we hired a lot of people quickly. Mm-hmm. And market conditions have rapidly changed since then. Accordingly, we have right-sized the business to best reflect the new realities.
It makes sense. People aren't spending money on stuff like that.
On stupid stuff.
You know, just not. This money's tight nowadays.
But you can get last-minute delivery for Mother's Day. Get the perfect gift for Mom. A Mother's Day gift she'll never expect and never forget.
You know what your mom wants? Your mom wants you to call.
Your phone call.
You to spend some time.
Let me pull something off like that with
not someone famous.
I'm imagining my mom getting like a thing from whoever's on there, and she'd just be like, "The heck, yeah. Stacy? I want you to talk to me."
Wouldn't your mom like The Bachelor to say, "Hi, Mom"?
My mom doesn't know who The Bachelor is. Good Lord.
That would be the height of dumb to send her something like that. And she goes, "Why is this strange person?
Who is this?
Saying hi to me. What's going it's on?" Like, yeah.
My mom is a science fiction loving day trader. She's
let's see who we can find for Mom here.
Yeah.
Let's see.
If you got Neil Gaiman to do it, she'd be excited.
Yeah, I don't think Neil needs to do cameras.
Well, that's Hugh Howard. Yeah. Well, for charity, he might.
Yeah.
He might.
Oh, Hugh Laurie? She would do. Is he on there? Good Lord.
No, I said Hugh Howie, but Hugh Laurie would do.
Oh. I was like, Hugh Laurie she'd do.
It is kind of
like his character House.
If you're a Hollywood celebrity, it's kind of like appearing on The Love Boat, right? It's kind of like a sign.
It's below
you're
that.
Kind of
it's below summer theater.
Yeah.
In Tuscaloosa.
Lori Berkner.
Singer in the Lori Berkner band. She's only $125. You want her? So, I can arrange for her to say
but
hi to
my
you.
My daughter loves. Actually, her music was lovely.
Oh, okay.
She does kids' music. So you could do that for your kid's birthday.
See, that's cute. Yeah, you could see the problem here. Part of the problem is also actors are going back to work. They are no longer sitting around the house wishing they were working. They actually can go do some movies and TV shows.
Why
and stuff,
don't you so. Get on Cameo and see how you do? I'd be so curious.
What should I say?
It's not what they'll tell you what to say.
They tell you what to say. You.
Yeah, but don't you want to have like your trademark thing that you say?
Hey, hey, hey.
No.
How about if I pay them? I'll pay you to take my video. How about that? Yeah. The only thing I'm famous for is saying screw you to Mike Arrington. I could do that.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Apparently, we have some stickers. Did you bring the stickers in? Would you go get me that sticker?
Whatever happened to Mike Arrington?
He moved to like Washington State,
question.
And now he's
around
Miami?
Somewhere. Yeah, he's like hiding out. Last time I saw him, he wouldn't shake my hand. Not because he doesn't like me, but because he was a germaphobe. So these stickers, this is going to be my new Cameo thing, I think. We made stickers out of this.
Uncle Leo one is in there.
Is it? Oh, look at. Whoa, John, you got a lot of stickers.
This is a ton of
Holy
stuff.
Cow. John's been collecting stickers, but this is my favorite. It says, remember, kids, Uncle Leo says, screw you.
Put that on your Cameo.
Except that here's the problem. I just did that Cameo for free.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, he lives in
That's
Miami.
That's not how this works.
He lives in Miami. Is he writing?
He has a crypto fund.
Oh.
Of course he does. Of course he
if
does.
If you can't do Cameo, do crypto. Right?
Clearly.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, he's. Oof. This is not a flattering picture of him on TechCrunch's site.
He was the founder, for those who don't know, he was the founder of TechCrunch, a lawyer. And TechCrunch in the early days of .com was huge.
Big, yeah.
That was how you found out who the next big thing was.
I had very long conversations with him. He was trying to understand, what do I do with this thing? It's taking off.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a huge success.
Why did you say screw you to him?
I remember.
Do you want to watch a video?
Sure.
Let me see. I bet you I can find it.
I mean, he basically called you like a shill.
Yeah. He called me a shill. We used to do, I used to host the Gilmore Gang. This was 13 years ago on Twit. So that was Steve Gilmore. And then Mike Arrington was on, a bunch of other people were on it. And I was doing a review of the new Palm
Pre, right?
Pre, which I really liked.
A lot of people liked it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Are you happy with it?
Love it.
It's why? Quite, it's quite impressive. Well, you know, I thought that
Kevin Marks
is
on there.
It was like,
hold
it's
on.
Young Kevin Marks.
Like, let's get the disclosures out of the way right away.
This is a one-week review unit. I couldn't get one, and unfortunately, I don't think I'll be able to get. I was going to go out and get one this afternoon.
Okay, so you got a free pre. You're one of the very few people that got a free review.
Not at all.
Pre.
I think there are quite a few reviewers here.
Scoble has one, too.
Mike, that's BS, and I'm really pissed off that you would imply in some way that this free, quote, free pre that I send back in 7 days would in any way predispose me. Screw you.
What are you going to do about it?
Mike, you are such a troll. Screw you.
Okay, it gets worse from there.
Yeah, it does. Pause for a second. Look right there in the bottom right corner on the screen. I know that guy. That's Lauren, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I'm just watching Lauren the whole time.
Kevin left.
He is the troll. He is the troll of trolls. He had trolled me for years.
He did a puppet thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still around doing puppets. Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Lauren just sits there. I'm looking at him, looking at his expression while all of this is going on.
Well, look, he loves his fights.
Kevin just ran. Kevin just ran. I'm not kidding.
I would run, too. I'm with Kevin. I'd be like, oh, yeah, this is upsetting.
Sorry, I asked. Yeah, okay.
Anyway. Right,
let's go back to happy news.
I thought that was funny.
And everybody thinks, oh, the internet used to be really nice, and people all got along.
That was 2009. Was okay. That was 2009.
I thought that was 13
years
because you went off the
north. I lost it, and I felt bad about it. In fact, I called Mike later and apologized, and I apologized to Steve Gilmore. But I stopped doing
the
Gilmore
right.
King after that. Well, it wasn't that incident. It was a series of incidents of him. That was one of the things he really liked to do was needle people and insinuate without coming out and saying it.
Yeah.
And after several months of that, that's when I finally blew. But there's no
I actually liked Mike.
I did too. That's
a very smart guy. He was doing interesting things. But he had a thing. He had to be difficult.
You want to know something? He's blocked me on Twitter.
Good for you.
I don't even know the cat. Why the heck did he block me?
I wonder if he blocked me. I'm not going to take the time.
I remember he blocked me. I remember finding that he blocked me a couple of years ago. I'm like, I don't even know this guy. Why am I blocked?
How do you find when someone blocks you?
When you go to look him up and it shows.
If you look their name, it'll say you're blocked. Say it. He's probably blocked anybody who has anything to do with me, I would imagine.
Maybe that's it.
Amazon responding to the Supreme Court, potential Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade, says we will reimburse employee travel for abortions.
That is such... Here's why. If you want to take a stand against abortions, if you really believe that this is a big problem for your company, you say, hey... I'm not going to have my operations in a state with
just move out. There you move go. Out.
Hit them. Hit them in the
say
pocket.
They're in every state now. Is the problem?
They're not. Well, they are, but do it that way.
They'd have to
and,
move out
and
of
tell the people
states.
Who live there.
But Stacey, that doesn't make this bad. That doesn't make. Should they do more? I agree, but that doesn't make this itself bad.
This itself is bad because.
The
already,
only company that's come out to say anything.
It's kind of like greenwashing. You're
no,
saying?
Levi Strauss. Levi's also has come out, and we'll see more. I mean, A, this isn't an actual opinion yet, but B, saying you'll look out for your employees. Half the reason America is dealing with like issues associated with like healthcare and costs, like many of our costs are associated with this, is because we're reliant on our companies to pay for things.
Yep.
Like this.
Yep.
We don't have a social network that beholdens people to these companies for all kinds of things that really the government probably should provide.
I've
personally
never understood
believe
why companies aren't saying exactly what you said, Stacey. Because mm-hmm. why should they want to pay this? I've never understood why they weren't the ones fighting for single
payment. It was a deal way back. Oh, how did this start? There's a really good book. I'm not going to make this up, but... Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Make it up. Go ahead.
No, Stacey doesn't.
Stacey's a journalist, Jeff.
Oh, jeez.
She's not a hot taker.
Basically, when they were coming up with Medicare, Medicaid, and all of the Social Security programs, basically the government did this thing. They basically agreed with the big industries of the day that they would provide health insurance. And I can't remember reason why, but.
Well, it's shameful when a company like Walmart doesn't pay its employees sufficiently, so they have to be on food stamps and get government health care. that's basically Walmart leeching on the U.S. government. You think? Mm-hmm. I don't think the government expected that, did they?
No. And I would also argue that if you look at where the Republican Party seems to be going, both with how they're, I mean,
well, don't get us started on this.
Sorry. The cynic in me looks
where the Republican Party is going is a conversation doomed to.
The cynic in me looks at some of the policies and says, hey, many of the policies that we're enacting as a country really just create a more indentured population that requires them to have these low-wage, crappy jobs. Capitalism originally was built on slavery.
And those chickens are coming home to roost, I have to say.
Yeah.
Between income inequality, ridiculously low minimum wages, wage slavery effectively, lack of health care, now this latest pending decision from the Supreme Court, which was an assault on women. I can't believe that we're going to go on like this. Something has to snap.
We are.
I don't think we are.
People are not snapping. People are going to their jobs and doing everything what are we doing right here, right now, Leo? We are talking about technology.
Yeah.
We are not. I mean, honestly,
if there were a general strike, though, I was thinking about this last night. If we're agreed, we're going to do a general strike on Friday, I would go dark. We would go dark in this station. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Stacey, I put that story in there because it's the only story I could find that was related to the abortion decision and tech.
You didn't see the story about, you know, governments potentially looking to buy data, location data.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
You know,
there's a story.
The positive side, right?
But that's I saw somebody saying, you know, if you're using a menstrual application to monitor your menstrual period, you should stop because that could be used against you if abortion becomes illegal. That data could be used against you. And then this story that, in fact, who is it selling this information?
Protocol.
Well, Peter Thiel was supposedly involved in one of them. I'm trying to find
Well, that's the CDC story.
SafeGraph says Mr. Ray
SafeGraph, that's who it is.
SafeGraph is selling information about who visits abortion clinics, both coming and going, on sale by a data broker, including information from Planned Parenthood. And guess what? Hey, gang, it's only $160.
Oh, my gosh.
This is ridiculous. It's only, and this comes from your phone records, right?
This is real.
And this is one of those things. Okay, this is not actually.
By the way, credit to Vice, who got this story. They actually paid the data broker $160 for that information.
Yeah, and Vice actually did a story earlier about the CDC getting location data on people following COVID curfews.
Which in the wrong hands.
Now, so as of a couple hours ago, it says they have stopped selling.
Oh, they got caught, so they stopped.
Yeah, they got caught.
Okay.
We need new categories. So, there are rules in place for personally identifiable information, PII, right?
PII.
And we need to include location data as PII because there's no way you can anonymize a person's location data, period. You know where they go. You know where they live. Any location map can be attributed to an individual very easily. And that I know it sucks. You know, we love location data. The entire ad industry is salivating, but we have to actually classify that as PII and we have to have really strict rules about who can access it and how.
For a long time, I've been defending the invasions of privacy, saying, well, where's the harms? I want to see the harms. It's just selling ad tracking. It's just selling for ads. And I now see the harms. And it is very clear how this could be misused.
If your state, the period tracking data is interesting because there's been several stories over the last couple of years about how much, and they haven't really gained outrage and traction, but those apps take a lot of data and then they also sell it to a lot of people. So that's a problem. But then if you're looking at some states are looking at hey, could we maybe prevent abortion and sue people or at if there's stuff.
Or get,
could we
Alexis,
get,
let's get other
they
people
want jurisdiction.
To sue. Yeah.
They want jurisdiction over people who are not in, because, you know, if you're murdering babies the next state over, that's a problem.
Oh, we got to get
them.
You. Yeah.
So they're saying, hey, if you conceive in our state, then you're also under our jurisdiction and you can't get an abortion, which is an interesting idea. And the only way you could figure out if someone's Jesus. Conceiving in your state is combining that sort of. Now, they're not doing that now. And if you were a lawyer, you know, but yeah, we have to be aware of how much data we're giving these companies and how it's, I mean, it's, it can be used by the states. They've already talked about using it in ways that are really creepy, and we can't wait for the courts to come in and say this is bad, because by that time, someone's lives, probably many people's lives, have already been ruined.
Well, Stacey, yeah. I think it's going to be worse than that. If you look at the Alito opinion, what he's basically killing is the
right
made
to
right to privacy. Mm-hmm. So it kills a lot of things, and it kills, I think, the principle to stand on to do just what you just asked for. The courts will start throwing that out. If we lose the right, because there's no right to privacy in the Constitution, it was created out of the out of various parts. I wrote about a whole book about this, and if the rug gets pulled up underneath that, it's not just this. It's obviously all the issues of who you choose to sleep with and who you choose to marry, but it's everything else too. It goes into privacy in the internet and says that any data can be grabbed up by government.
Yeah, the reason I was so sanguine about data collections, I thought, well, the government would never do that.
Naivety.
Clearly, well, was it naivete? Maybe not. Maybe it was optimism.
Uh-huh.
But I really thought we lived in a better place where government wouldn't do that. But it's clear that some state governments certainly will. And
some people want that. I mean,
they want
the issue. Yeah, the issue is when the state has access to this information, they can punish you.
Yep.
And
yep.
I mean, hello, 1984.
Yep. So
okay, I'm too incensed. We gotta.
No, I am too. So
what's your heart rate now?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, really. like checking.
T-Mobile. Here's some T-Mobile news, and this is actually IoT. I think IoT interesting news. Verizon and T-Mobile both offer residential internet using their 5G networks, which,
yep.
unless you are near, I think a 5G tower with ultra wideband. The you know mid band,
mm-hmm.
The low band I don't think is fast enough. That's just LTE, or maybe you're lucky and you've got the millimeter wave. But if you're near a fast enough 5G tower, these are pretty good deals. My daughter lives in Marin,
mm-hmm.
and I noted I had a Verizon phone there, and I said, "Wow, you're really you're right. You're getting ultra wideband and it's fast." So when it was time to get her internet for a new apartment, instead of getting Comcast at $60 a month. I already have a Verizon account. I was able to get $25 a month, get this Verizon
wow.
wireless.
Well, femtocells?
No. Yeah, it's not a femtocell because it's not for your cell phone. It's a little Wi-Fi receiver that uses the 5G, but it's 380 megabits down, and I've been doing tests all through the day.
Why not? Yeah.
19 megabits up for $25 a month.
Why not? Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of catches. One is, it is not as maintainable there aren't as many settings. For instance, to protect my privacy, I use Next DNS
mm-hmm.
for my DNS provider and do a lot of blocking
mm-hmm.
at the house. You can't change your DNS provider. Verizon clearly wants all that private information.
Data.
There's a good data in
that's
there.
That's data.
And it's pretty clear Verizon doesn't want you to modify the DNS
yeah.
settings. So it's a very limited, it's not a great, but
you
it's 25
bucks. You want to find them on
your phone? No, no, it's because, you know, she's on her, yeah, okay.
No, I'm saying if you have a Verizon phone, could you modify it?
Well, I don't know about the phone, but you could certainly, if you're using this thing, on each computer that connects to it, you could use NextDNS individually. So you can't modify it the router. But nevertheless, even if you do, Verizon knows it's you and they know what you're doing, so... You know what? Verizon's got a lot of information from that. T-Mobile just announced. Now, one of the things Verizon said is, this is an introductory rate. We reserve the right to increase it.
Okay.
T-Mobile just said...
That's what they normally do, right?
We're going to give you in-home internet. They announced this today for $50 a month, and we're never going to change the price.
Oh.
And if you're already a customer, $30 a month.
Jeez. Oh.
So this is disruptive, I think.
Oh.
Now, Stacey, you're the IoT expert.
Shots fired.
But I do feel like if you live in an area with 5G ultra wideband,
or as T-Mobile calls it, ultra capacity. This is a very good choice for that price.
Yeah, it sounds like a good, I don't know how it deals with IoT, but it does deal with broadband. Which,
well, these are IoT devices, really, right?
No, they're routers.
Well, I call a router, this may be a nomenclature issue, but I think anything that goes on the internet that is not a computer is an IoT device. Port. But okay.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Oh, man.
Yeah. From a broadband perspective, yeah. This is good.
Huge. It's competition.
It's also, so. For this, are they using 28 megahertz? Are they using the mid-band for this?
They must be because my daughter, like I said, 380 megabits down, 19 up, rock solid day and night, even during commute hours. She's near Highway 101. Mm-hmm. I imagine they have towers right there. So she's probably very proximate to a 5G UW tower.
Yeah, sounds good. You should buy it.
That's what you should do. You should check T-Mobile and Verizon and make sure you're getting that 5G.
I'm not.
Now, T-Mobile's offering 15-day home trial. And
I thought that was actually pretty disruptive because it's not like you can normally test broadband.
How else would you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So now you can actually just very easily bring this in and be like, hey, is this going to work for me? Boom.
They lock it in for life, for both home and business. The $30 a month is not, I know, locked in, but it's for existing Magenta Max T-Mobile customers. They will also give you $50 off any streaming device, including Apple TV. So it's kind of to encourage that. They give you 50% off YouTube TV for a year. So they're really, this is a arrow aimed at the heart of the cable companies. And they give you they'll help you cancel your existing
some fees
up to $500 in early termination fee coverage.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
is like Comcast, come and get us.
DirecTV did this years ago too.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
when they came in, they said, you know what,
we're going to give you this.
Yeah. Good move.
So I think this is pretty amazing. You should check to see if you're eligible. Verizon did not charge for the router or the equipment. There was zero cost for that. Same with T-Mobile. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I would just look at the reviews for how it behaves, like in rain and other kind of events.
Yeah.
If they're in the mid-band, they should be fine. But that's just something to think about. Because as you get up into those higher spectrums, they attenuate faster. So they don't go through as many walls and bushes and trees.
Well, Ben, Verizon does want you to put it near a window, although I tested in a variety of positions in her apartment. It worked the same almost everywhere. I've been doing speed tests on it. You can do a remote speed test on it. I've been doing speed tests on it just to see if it's affected by time of day, because that was the other concern is that, you know, maybe
who's on.
Yeah, maybe if, you know, the commute hour and everybody's on that tower, maybe that's not so good. I'll just run a quick speed test while we're talking.
My T-Mobile signal is not very good in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I hate that.
You'd have to be somewhere, and that's mostly urban areas, where you're going to get high speed.
This motivates them to put in more.
Well, they are rolling out.
This isn't the same as your mobile. I mean, I don't know if they're using the same spectrum for their mobile 5G
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I thought they were doing
something different. Huh?
Their mobile 5G is actually in the lower megahertz because they were using. I don't remember.
The deal. Verizon, I don't know about, but I do know a lot about T-Mobile because I'm a T-Mobile customer in my main phone. They rolled out the 700 megahertz 5G almost universally.
Yeah,
but that's exactly. LTE speeds.
And Okay. But that spectrum is going to be way better. It's more crowded and they have tinier channels. So they are doing it at LTE speeds, but that's because their channels aren't wide enough.
Oh, so they could be faster down the road, you think?
Probably not because they don't have, at 700 megahertz, I think your channels are limited to either 10 or 20 megahertz wide.
Right.
So, but for the in-home, if they're using the mid-band, then they're going to be using 28. And those channels are freaking huge because no one's there. So then you could have a 100 megahertz channel. And then that means you can pack as many bits as you can in each of those megahertz, right?
Right.
So when you say LTE speeds, that's sort of true, but the underlying technology, like, I mean, 5G is actually really LTE release, like 15 through right. 20. Right. So
I have noted, though, when I get the UW 5G UW on my Verizon phone or the 5G UC on my T-Mobile phone, that's when I get those speeds. So, I mean, maybe someday they'll be on the low band as well, but I really think it's the mid band that they're using for both.
Here, we should be able to find that out.
Yeah, would you? Because I'm curious. Service. It's a really, I mean, it's kind of very easy to set up. It's, you can see the signal strength of it, you know, on the app. You can, I mean, it's really kind of an amazing, it has Ethernet ports. So I connected her iMac directly to it so she could get the highest speed possible. It's, but the limitations are,
here it is.
Go ahead.
Their home internet is 1900 megahertz. They're using, 1900, 700, 2100, 600 and 600. So, and 2.5.
So this is using everything.
They're actually, most of it's low band.
Interesting.
So interesting. It's all the same. Huh. So good for them. And I'm wondering how many channels, how many megahertz they have at the mid band.
I was getting pretty consistently about 380 megabits down and 19 up, which is honestly, 320 down. I just did the test, 19.3 up. Latency's a little high, 20 milliseconds latency.
Ooh. So you couldn't do the show from it.
Well, I don't know what the jitter is.
I made it worse.
20's not awful. Milliseconds, that's, you know, that's 1/50th of a second. Download again, 320, upload 19.3.
Yes.
Anyway, I think this is actually, I'm thrilled to see it. I really feel like, you know, T-Mobile's heralding it as Internet Freedom Day. But I really think it's a shot against the cable companies. People are starting to cut the cord. And this gives them a way to do that. I think that's great.
I'm still going to stick with the stupid cable company.
Well, I have to, too, because I don't have...
Yeah, I do, too.
At home, I don't have anything like that.
Personally, I'm spoiled by the speed, the download speeds, and being able to watch these streaming services that I watch in very, very high quality is quite nice. So, there's value in it for me.
Ba-ba-ba.
What was that?
What was that?
That's just me singing.
Ba, 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 ba.
It's a good thing you're good at IoT.
That was my excited, like, I got to nerd out. I feel like I offer the most value when I'm like, oh, here's a deeply nerdy topic I can offer some insight.
That's why I brought it up. Change the subject.
Thank you.
Make you feel better.
That and pointing out that routers are not IoT devices.
I think they are.
Why is that not an IoT device?
Okay. Look, if we define everything as not being a computer, then we have to say, well, what's a computer? I mean, my Nest thermostat is actually like a server because it's making... I mean, so basically when I think IoT devices, I think more modern...
No, everything's
devices.
A computer, but I'm saying no display, no keyboard, no mouse, no direct user interface. Mm-hmm. I guess the thermostat has a user interface. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure, if you want to call it an IoT device, but I certainly don't write a lot about
routers. Go ahead, be wrong. Go ahead, be a fool. It's all right with me.
I think my sense of it calling an IoT device comes from more about security.
Yeah, the security people do this all the time, and it kind of drives me nuts because they're like, IoT devices are a huge problem. And
it's
people
really
are like,
routers.
Oh, no, my.
Yeah.
They're like, my light bulbs. And I'm like, it's not your light bulbs. It's your 20-year-old network DVR, your 15-year-old printers, and your 10-year-old routers that are the issue. So I feel like,
Yeah.
Anyway.
I am going to declare victory over Facebook. You can thank me later. Facebook has pulled the plug on their podcast business. After a year, they will end the short-form audio feature, shut the audio hub.
For the pivot to audio.
Yeah, they were. That was a big deal, right? They were going to do audio, right?
Yeah, we make fun of Google for dropping things. Google at least waits a few years and forgets about it. Facebook drops it in no time.
Yeah, that was the big Mark Zuckerberg thing, among other things. We're going to pivot to audio. Anyway,
Spotify, you're next.
We have outlasted Facebook. Oh, now that I don't think is going to happen. I think Spotify's really moving in hard and fast. Let's do a quick change log, and then we'll get your picks of the week.
The Google change log.
Google TV announces favorite channels for its live.
Don't sound so excited, sir.
TV so 10. They already have something, but now you can kind of see what's live now. It's some difference. I don't use YouTube TV, so I have no idea.
I used it this morning. I pressed the button on the YouTube. No, this isn't YouTube TV. This is Google TV.
Google TV, you're right.
I pressed the button on my Google TV remote, and I played David Bowie and Freddie Mercury, Under Pressure,
okay,
on YouTube Music, and then I went to work. That's a favorite channel
like
now.
The perfect use for Google TV.
I think it's Pressure, Under Pressure. So that's
that. Your heart rate's up. That's the problem.
Yeah, I was dancing around the house.
Tell yourself something.
Google Play System and updates for May. Bring nearby share to self. I don't know what that means.
That's what they were talking about when we got on. They were talking about nearby share, self-sharing.
I know what nearby share is. It's like Apple's AirDrop.
Yeah, this is now you can share between your devices on your...
Oh, I see. So you would share to another device that you own.
Okay.
Right, I thought,
why would I share this photo to myself? I'm here.
Right. Here's the funny thing. I could swear we talked about this last week, and it's so lacking in memorability.
We talked about nearby share coming.
Yeah.
Now it is here.
Now it's here. So now it's official. Yes. Okay. It's a change log.
Yes.
Okay.
And a redesign for Google Help and a lot more. And, yeah, if you watched All About Android, you'd know all about that.
Yeah.
Nearby Share lets you move files across all your Android devices. So that's very cool. There it is. All your Android devices, hassle-free. Google Assistant and Chrome, powered by Duplex, can now auto-change stolen passwords.
Ooh. Okay.
That is
how does it work?
I hope it tells you what your password is.
No, it'll remember it, but you have to use Chrome for the rest of your life.
You're just not responsible. I'm not going to let you in this.
So if a password Google you just logged in with, so I just logged into a site, it was found in a data breach, you know, like have I been pwned, Google Assistant and Chrome will offer to change your password automatically. It'll pop up. And then you'll get a blue button. See, it says it right here. Change your password now. Chrome found the password in data breach. Your assistant can change your password automatically. You press the button, change automatically, and the process begins. It will navigate you to the change password page, and then the assistant will generate a suggested password. You have to interact a little bit. You have to say, yes, I want that, and it will save it to your credentials manager in Chrome. At any point, you could take over if you say, I want to do this myself. I think anything that encourages people to change your password. It's a bad password, it's a good thing.
And it's free.
Yep. Comes with your Chrome.
Powered by Duplex. Not sure how that works.
Yeah, because Duplex is the thing that calls and makes a reservation for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. But
well, I guess they're calling. AI. It's like everything's IoT. They're calling everything with AI.
Everything's AI.
It's all AI. It's all Duplex. May's Pixel 6 and 6 Pro update is out. My major improvement only to haptic feedback. There's some minor little hoo-has. Just three fixes total. Fix for occasionally causing a display to wake without user interaction. Actually, my Google Nest Hub does that. Every once in the middle of the night, big bright white light will come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure, that's not security camera?
No. It's just like the, you know, that hub thing. Maybe it thinks I'm snoring and it's trying to wake me up. I don't know. And there's a fix for an issue causing launcher crashes
somebody
after restarting.
Roll me over
in the clover. Get ready. Google Chrome OS is going to be rebranded to drop the space.
What space?
In between the... What?
There is no space. None.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. The system officially is Chrome Space OS, although it is often stylized lowercase c, no space.
That's all I ever
but
see.
But the official name is Chrome Space OS.
Oh,
I know.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I know.
Who made $1 million for that brilliant move?
We're going, well, think of the money Google's saving by eliminating all those spaces. Wasted spaces.
Sure.
Well, it used to be you had to have lead spaces. Yep.
So, yeah, that's the kind of thing we talk about right here on the Google Change Log.
Aren't you glad you asked for it?
Riveting.
Let's take a break, and then the picks of...
If I mentioned one thing before...
You want to do a TikTok? Go ahead. You can do a TikTok.
No. Well, you could do that. I just want to mention, last week, you talked about the Theranos...
swag. Did she get some?
And there's a story in here on 146 about bloodlust.
Bloodlust. Theranos merchandise on eBay, according to The Guardian, sparks bloodlust among Elizabeth Holmes fans... Well, or people who collect memorabilia from failed companies like our friend Christina Warren. I wouldn't assume that she is an Elizabeth Holmes fan.
No.
Five pens.
Are these people who are excited because of the show?
I don't think we could take
full
credit.
Like The Dropout?
Oh, maybe. I thought you meant a twig.
The harsh show. You egotist, you.
I don't think we should take credit for this.
Right. So they're probably more Amanda Seyfried fans or fans of the Hulu show.
No, they're $150 for three Theranos pens.
Mm.
I think it's more...
Failed company.
Yeah, I think it's Christina Warren stuff. I think The Guardian got it wrong. I don't think this is Elizabeth Holmes fans.
No.
This is people who, like Christina, want a Theranos pop socket to put in their collection.
Right.
We talked about this last week, a great story about Christina Warren on NPR. All that, yeah.
All right, I just want to mention that.
No, that's a good one. I guess there's a few we should throw in. Rate My Skype Room has a book coming. His name is Claude Taylor. You knew that.
That's his name, yeah. That's
yeah,
his name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How to Zoom Your Room. Talk about cashing in.
Is this how long is the book? Is it 10 pages?
You could write this book.
I mean,
you should have written this book.
Yeah.
But you don't have that Room Raider brand.
No.
Well, they have Connie Schultz.
They did a caricature of
her room.
Oh.
I'm jealous as heck. I mean, yes, I got a 10.
You got a 10. They should have a caricature of your room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a caricature? Or is it like a diorama? I don't understand.
It's an illustration.
I mean, good.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have to get that book. All right. There are other shorts.
Oh, wait. Twitter.
Yeah.
Elon. So a lot of people like Rate My Dogs, et cetera, all the merchandise you get from having a successful Twitter account.
Yes.
Rate My Room.
Yes.
Maybe he should take a cut of that.
Oh.
Ooh.
Like a percentage.
Yeah. Like a platform fee.
You owe me big time, buddy.
Hmm. All right. That's my free idea of the day.
Okay.
It's worth exactly what you pay for it.
Leo, is your video ready yet?
Google.
I was going to show a behind the scenes video I shot of my son. It's so funny because every time I launch it, since your video will be ready soon, it shows just one frame. Watch. It shows one frame, and then it says, well, no, your video is still not ready.
Wow.
You should probably stop that and re-upload it, my friend.
It's fine on Apple Photos.
It was there a couple days ago.
I was showing how Salt Hank shoots his chicken parm with the vodka penne sauce. You. With his
nice
Canon R,
Salt Hank, is that in his apartment?
It's posted on my Instagram. I could go to my Instagram. Yeah, no. So this is great. He just moved his apartment because he didn't like the kitchen in his apartment. It wasn't photogenic. It wasn't photogenic.
I mean, that's his job, man. That makes
sense. He needs to shoot it. So here is the video. Oh, I should turn on the sound. This is. I got, okay, wait for it. when it plops into the Cuisinart. Oh, son of a.
We need to work on your Instagram.
Jeez. How does social media work here? I posted the behind the scenes. This is of him making the thing
this
where the.
This is how Salt Hank sets up a shot.
All righty.
The key is now you're using the Canon R6.
Exactly.
For video.
Yep.
And a weirdly named mic, the Comica.
Comica, but gets the job done.
It's good enough.
It's not Konica, it's Comica.
Comica. Really important, huh?
Most important.
Is he getting proposals from the show?
So he's writing a book proposal right now.
No, I meant like for weddings.
Oh, yeah. Tomatoes. Like to get married? Like to marry him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sandwich.
Oh, yeah. He gets a lot of attention.
Butter, garlic.
Attention.
From the, I'm trying to say course, it without.
It always has to have a little bit of salt, Hank.
Look at the plug. The plug.
Oh.
Salt, Hank, pesto, salt, baby.
SaltHank.com. And of course, he's wearing his Cuts.
Oh, yeah.
This is another advertiser.
Another plug.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes.
Cuts, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna stand back and let
get
you
him, hey.
All right.
So, this whole thing set up for 1 second the plop of the sauce into the Cuisinart.
Yeah.
What happens if he messes it up? He has to take it all out and wash the Cuisinart?
Start over. It's all about the plop, baby.
Hey, this is how salt
anyway, that was a lot of fun.
I respect that.
That's fun.
I yeah, totally fun. Respect that.
He loves what he's doing. That's all I care about. He's become...
You might care that he can also afford a place to live that's not your basement.
Well, like I said, he's moved into a... He doesn't live in the basement. He's moved into...
Well, no, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Although... I'll be honest, that kitchen is his mom's. It's not, and he's been shooting there a lot because, so he's got 2 million followers now. This is the video that he was making. 1.2 million views on this video. This is, and wait for the plop because it's really good. You're going to hear it. Sound is his thing now.
Right? Yeah, it makes a difference. Yeah.
Hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got La Traviata in the background.
I love his edits.
You know what I realize? He does have crossed the line. He's actually, I don't know if he knows this or not.
What do you mean?
I was, when I did the thing, I'm walking around and right, I didn't do any cuts, so it wasn't a problem. But his angle on the whole thing is the same.
Yeah.
He's always coming in from the left. Always. And I realize if he switches to the right at once, at all... He'd be crossing the line and make people uncomfortable. I don't think he knows that rule. Maybe he does. He studied it in college. He probably does. But
it's freaking beautiful.
I probably shouldn't assume this is all instinctual. He's obviously knows what he's doing.
I love it. I just don't like what TikTok is doing with him for me as a follower.
I never see his videos.
I get his stuff weeks.
Yeah. What do I have to do?
They're weeks old when I get the alerts from them.
Yeah, that's how they do it. Yeah.
I'm like,
that's just
I
how
follow
they do
him
it.
Actively.
I
Why
know.
Are you?
Well, what you have to do is what I always do, which is go to his name, search for him, and watch the videos. And that's how I always do it.
Yeah.
His biggest video, I think, 30 million views.
Jesus.
But he tells me it's not the views, it's the likes.
Yeah.
It's not the views. He got 34.5 million likes.
That's awesome.
That's a good number of likes.
Mr. Jarvis, did you see that I actually did a TikTok?
No.
Wow.
TikTok show me.
I shared it with you on Twitter.
What's your handle on TikTok?
It's probably still Ant_Pruitt.
It is everywhere, isn't it?
That's what I tried anyway.
Maybe. Let's see. There's a Chase Pruitt.
That would be no. Or just Ant Pruitt, one word, maybe.
You don't even know your handle, do you?
No comment.
No.
There's how many Ant Pruitts are out there?
There apparently none.
Son of a. I just did this thing and I thought about Mr. Jarvis when I did it. I was like,
there's a Hannah Pruitt.
Yeah, it is Ant_Pruitt.
It is. Well, see, another thing TikTok's screwing up. I have to view all results. There you are.
Wow.
So that wasn't the first one it was showing me.
Wow.
Is this the new one, this first one here?
Yeah, that one.
Of the.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a video of our sponsor, Blue Lands, container, which you're making it look better than they make it look. You probably should sell this to them. you're lighting it from within and all that stuff, and it's very cool.
You were like, you need to do a hands-on photography for product shots, so I was rehearsing.
Yeah, and that's cool. Like, well, how did you get the green light? Is that behind it?
That's actually part of my pick of the week.
Oh, well, we'll get there in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. Now, I know you were an IT pro before we snagged you away from your job. You worked in IT. It's a great job. It pays well.
It pays well.
You can, if you're into tech, you get to do the tech that you love. But one of the hardest things is getting that first job. You got to talk your way into that first job, right? It's kind of, oh, no, really, I'm good at it. So that's why this certification thing was set up, so that you could take a test like the A-plus test and show, that's for desktop tech support, show you know the material. Those certs are so important. That's why people study. They take the tests. They look for somewhere to learn IT. And I want to tell you, the place to go that you will love is IT Pro TV. It's an online IT training platform. It's the best out there. It's got the most up-to-date content. Look at all the categories. Search in every area. They'll even help you figure out what area you want. They've got coaches, counselors. They've got all the subject matter. They just released a new course, CompTIA's A+. I was just talking about that. Core 1 and Core 2 series. This is for people who, you know, desktop support. They support today's core technologies, and it's security, it's networking, it's virtualization. This A-plus cert is the industry standard for launching an IT career in today's digital world. This is what you need for a lot of IT jobs out there. So take the course. You will learn about hardware. You'll learn about operating systems, networking, security, troubleshooting. You can actually take the test before you take the test. They have practice exams. You can work on hardware that you don't even own. They have virtual labs. IT Pro TV has 7 studios. They're working Monday through Friday creating new content. So it's always up to date. They have to do that because the IT world changes minute by minute. New programs, new versions, new tests, new questions. Their courses go from those studios into the library in 24 hours. All the courses have transcripts, so it's easy to search them to find the part you're looking for. You can watch a chunk in 20 to 30 minutes. So it's a very easy way to do it during a lunch hour or a break. And with those virtual labs and practice tests, you know, you're going to be in great shape to take that CompTIA A+ test, get that cert, get that first job. The best part about IT Pro TV, you can learn and get certified on your schedule. So if you've got another job, maybe you're doing a podcast, you know, or something like that.
Maybe.
you can still study. And it's always entertaining. IT Pro TV's courses are fun because they're edutainers, they call them. Their teachers are experts in the field. Of course, that's the first qualification, but they're also passionate. They love what they're doing. They're having fun, and that communicates. May, we're getting ready for summer, so is IT Pro TV. Their free Azure weekend is coming up May 14th and 15th. That means free courses all weekend long in Microsoft Azure. Head to the website to get the free courses. A great introduction if you haven't tried IT Pro TV. And this month, 2 free webinars. One tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. What is Azure Bicep? That sounds like it has something to do with you,
wait,
Ant.
Wait, what?
Azure Bicep. Adam Gordon, Wes Bryan will be doing that. May 19th, 2 p.m. Eastern, all things cybersecurity with Daniel Lowry and John Hammond. You can be at those seminars live, but you can always watch them after the fact as well. But try to get there live if you can, because then you can ask questions. I want to know, what the hell is Azure Bicep? Yeah. I don't think it's about, lifting. Don't forget about your IT team. They've got great business plans, too, at IT Pro TV. Look, just check it out. itpro.tv/twit. I've known these guys since they started. They're the best. Really love them. itpro.tv/twit. In fact, if you use the offer code TWIT30, you'll get an additional 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your subscription. As long as you stay active, TWIT30 at itpro.tv/twit. Offer code TWIT30 for 30% off as long as you stay active. IT Pro TV, build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey with the best. Poor Stacy, she wanted waffles 2 hours ago. She's probably fainted.
Got a waffle.
Oh, good. Whew.
Someone on the chat caught me during my little waffle interlude.
Waffle Express. Landshark, got a waffle for you. So, Stacy's pick of the week this week, your thing.
This is actually a thing. It's from our site. So it's Stacy on IoT. Kevin did a review of the, what's it called? The Schlage. He always calls it Schlage. So I've always had it like, wait a
how
second.
Do you say it? I've always wondered. So Schlage is the Schlage. Famous lock maker. Schlage, okay.
Yeah, it's Schlage. It's just Kevin being so
Schlage.
Schlage. The Schlage Encode Plus smart Wi-Fi lock.
So I have the Encode Plus Wi-Fi lock, but this is one with HomeKey, and I'm not a HomeKit person.
Oh,
but
HomeKey lets you open the door with your iPhone.
Yes, or your Apple Watch.
Or your watch? Oh, I got to get this.
So, yes, this is so. This is why we're – so I didn't try it because I'm not an Apple user. So Kevin did for us, and he loves it. He loves it, and his family loves it. His family are a hard sell.
Safer because it's NFC, right? It's not Bluetooth. You actually
it is NFC.
Yeah, it's like
well,
Apple
they have
Pay.
They have a Bluetooth radio in there too, but
I would turn that off. I get really nervous about the Bluetooth. But if it's NFC, that means I have to touch it like Apple Pay. That's very secure.
So, yeah. So this particular lock is $299.99. The Schlage Encode Wi-Fi lock is $249.99. So if you don't need HomeKit, your the home key functionality, then you know you don't have to do that. But these are good locks. I mean, mine has done well. I've granted mine's on my front door, and we don't use the remote unlock feature all that often. We mostly unlock it with the keypad, which still the power draw is moving the motor to move the deadbolt. But the locks or the batteries lasted for like I think almost a year, like 10 or 11 months.
Oh, so
which is pretty good.
Even though it's pulling the deadbolt back. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a good lock. It works. It has a keypad for everybody who wants a keypad. And this particular one has HomeKey. And there you go. Yeah. I don't know if you can buy it just yet, but you should be able to buy it soon. And then a reminder.
Yes.
Sunday is Mother's Day, y'all.
And you say that as a mother?
No, I just, you know, I feel like people no, you never want to forget your mom.
No,
you know,
I gave her a June oven for Mother's Day. She said, oh, Leo, you shouldn't give me a June oven. You already gave me, I forgot what it was, something stupid.
That's what she said?
No.
Something stupid?
Something dumb. I forgot what I gave her. I said, no, Mom, you need a real Mother's Day present. That was weeks ago.
Oh, here's an update. I think it's good that we were called out, says Aaron Hoffman, the CEO of location data provider Safegraph. He told this to Protocol. And
I think it's
glad.
Good that we got caught selling
he's basically saying we were not aware of this. And I'm
they didn't know.
Okay.
Allegedly. That's interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. Sorry, little update there.
They didn't know. Well, thank you for keeping us up to date on that. And thank you. Sunday is not Mother's Day in the UK, says John Arnold.
Oh, okay. See, I'm totally not listening to you. I'm reading this article. And he said, okay, already researchers are complaining that we took this data down because they actually want to see if these laws dampen family planning visits. Twist. I would argue that's why we need to have good regulations around this data in how you access it, who gets to access it, and what they can do with it.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Sorry.
I agree.
Just wanted to update.
Yep. Thank you. And by the way, Sunday is not Mother's Day in the UK.
Sorry, people in the UK. This is US-centric.
We already had it on March 19th, but thank you to all the mothers in the US of A. And now it's time for a number from Mr. Jeff Jarvis.
Well, I'll give you a little short one. So after last week's show, our new friend, your new friend, my longstanding friend, Glenn Fleischman, tweeted this on line 162. Someone is selling a picture of me on eBay.
What? For $20?
For $20. My mother wouldn't buy it. $20.
$20.
$20.
Where did they get it?
Where did they get it?
Photo. I wasn't happy, obviously.
Oh, and they ruined it by the ballpoint pen by circling your name.
Yeah.
Why did they keep it? I love that it's a historical image, too.
I know.
Do you think it's... if I buy it, it will have that watermark on it? Because that's ugly.
Notice it says best offer.
No offer.
No. Don't do this to me.
Oh, look. You bought it. It's from historicimages.com. Oh, let's make an offer.
Best what offer is no.
Let me, don't show my login.
Suitable for framing.
Man, that is.
Oh, man. I'm sorry I wasn't logged into eBay ahead of time.
Shipping is $4.99.
Well, that's fine.
So
2 cents.
What should I offer? Make an offer. Can you offer $0?
Hey, catch your pippin.
$2?
Maybe.
Maybe to take it?
Similar items sold for $12 to $16.
Oh, Jeff Jarvis, yeah.
Oh, you're going all the way up to 10? You're betting against yourself, man.
I'm going to start at 10. Will you autograph it if I buy it?
Oh, yes.
This is suspenseful. Give the seller a day to review your offer. If it's accepted,
it's coming to
you have
you
4 days
now.
To make your payment.
You'll get a notification right now.
I didn't do
now.
Buy it now.
No. The notification's coming back from the seller. Oh, somebody made an offer. Let me please dump this.
Oh, I see. So it's like buy it now. It's not an auction. If I make an offer, then he has to say,
Yeah. Yes or no. I wish he's going to jump on it. You're going to be stuck with his photo now. Just like two.
I am framing it and hanging
stick it on your desk right here.
I'm going to put it right on the desk. I am so excited. Thank you, Glenn.
That wasn't my number. Okay. That wasn't my number. So, you know how if you go, I'm going to guide you through this if I may, Leo.
Wait a minute. You go we found another picture of you on eBay.
Oh, man. No.
And this is you with some other guy.
That was the publisher. That was my nemesis, the publisher of.
Oh my goodness!
What is this? The same seller?
Oh, the other guy brought the value down. Apparently,
yeah, it's only $13.99. Why are you with Billy Crystal though? I don't understand. What are you doing with Billy Crystal? That's hysterical. Somebody got a whole trove of Jeff Jarvis pictures. Is it the same guy?
I've got a box of stuff over there. I've got a box of them over there. Should I?
No, it's a different. It's a different seller.
Oh, Mr. Jarvis.
It's a different seller. This one came from Historic Images 03, and that one's from R. Fleet Jr., inventor of the enema. That's great.
But that one has a nice kind of smirk on it, I think.
Oh, I know. I'm kind of sad I bought the wrong one. It's too late. Maybe I just buy both of them. I don't want Klingman in mine or Klingon Smith. Or I could put my face on Klingon Smith's face.
Yeah.
Oh, well, make an offer.
Make it so.
Let's make it an so. Offer. Wait a minute. Now, he's only asking $13.99, yeah, so I should do 10.
Two.
10. Oh, 10. Nice. Save some money. Okay. Send that along. This is suspenseful. I might have two Jeff Jarvis pictures.
Your email
I'm very concerned
right
about y'all.
Now.
There might be more. If you're selling a Jeff Jarvis picture on eBay, you ought to let me know.
We found your buyer.
Wow. What's the number, Mr. J?
Well, sorry, I got to get my eyesight back from laughing. So you know the long S? This is another typographical moment. You know the long S? It says Congress. You know, if you go to line 167.
Okay.
And to refresh everybody's memory.
Oh, yeah, we were talking
Congress
about.
Congress of the United States. Yeah. It's like it says C-O-N-G-R-E-F-S.
Congress. Every cool kid has seen this. It's like Congress. Yeah.
And so this confuses the heck out of everybody who sees this. But for years and years and years, Ben Franklin was one of the ones who said, get rid of it. It's ridiculous. So
well, does it represent now, a double S? When is it used?
No, it's not. No, it's just another S. And I don't even know the pattern of why one goes in one place and one goes in the other place. But it's just another S. It's a long S and a short S.
Ugh.
No difference. So now go to line 165. This is what you learn on Twitter. If you can.
Yeah.
If you found it.
Yeah. Technically, we should be finesing.
So, yes. So, actually, says Susie Dent to Dennis Duncan, who wrote a wonderful book about the index, the history of the index, that it actually is not sneezing, it's finesing. Oh. That it was a long S to confuse somebody, and it wasn't an F, it was an S. So, the actual word is to finesse. And if you then go to the next line, Leo.
Oh, my God. This is like a scavenger hunt.
Yes. So it's true. So Dennis Duncan, who wrote this wonderful book called Index, A History of the...
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. It's brand new and out. You probably enjoy it. It's about the history of the index. So this is Caxton, who was the major, who was the first printer in English. And so you'll see there it says sneezing, fneezing,
oh,
and try to pronounce fneezeth.
Fneezeth. Whenever one fneezeth or gapeth, he maketh to foth his faith in the sign of the...
So from now on, and the reason, by the way, this is a little piece that explains why you should say God bless, because it was the plague and you were trying to not get to die with the plague.
Oh.
But it's now you no longer sneeze, you fneeze.
Fneeze.
Fneeze. That's a show title. Fneeze.
God bless you.
Oh, my gosh.
Fneeze.
Awesome. Fneeze.
Well, there
it
you
sounds
go.
Like it, right? Right? It sounds a lot more.
Fneeze.
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 Oh, my gosh.
Fneeze.
Has Ms. Higginbotham left the building yet?
She's still there. Aunt, give us something.
Am I zoning out? Yes.
Yes.
Weren't you fascinated by that? Come on.
Hey, take a bow, Mr. Jarvis. That was next level there.
If you were wondering how Aunt got that beautiful sheen on the Blue Land bottle.
It's a very, very inexpensive light I got off Amazon. I don't know how
it's called
ago.
The
It's like it's super duper cheap, but it really works well. There's only $30, and we have it in the show notes. LED light, you can change the colors of it, change the color temperature, and if you're doing product photography, you can hide it in your scene to help separate your product from the background.
So you get different colors in your...
Right. And if you want to just use it for portraitures of people or video or whatever, you can use it as a hair light or something like that. Or it's super useful, and you can just charge it up with a USB-C charger. And
you know what would be fun to do with this is time exposures in the dark. You could write things.
Light paint.
Yeah.
Again, it's only about... It fits in the size of my hand, so I guess it's roughly 5 inches.
foot by foot, yeah.
So it's roughly 5 inches, but nice little light. But that's the first thing. But my main picks of the week is to tell everybody to take care of themselves. Pick number one, I went to have my physical not too long ago, and the doctor is just like, wow.
I've never seen such big hands in my whole life.
And he's like, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm the most healthy, unhealthy person that you'll meet, but... I take care of myself by taking supplements such as good old fish oil.
Fish oil, good for you.
So take fish oil. It's not expensive. It's really, really helpful for your heart. I also take garlic tablets. That's helping with cholesterol.
And I actually notice I've purchased this fish oil 6 times.
See? Hey.
So there you go.
So take care
of yourself,
people.
And you eat garlic in a bottle?
Yeah, because I don't like garlic, so I take the tablets.
And it upsets some people's stomachs as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
So just get you some fish oil, get you some garlic to help take care of your blood and cholesterol and your heart and all of that.
Nice.
And lastly, this is May.
I love it. This garlic is called Puritan's Pride.
Puritan Pride.
Oh, okay. The Puritans would have been so proud.
Right. This is May, and it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so to shout out Mental Health Awareness Month, I wanted to mention a book with Miss Jennifer Lewis. She's called The Mother of Black Hollywood, and you may have seen her on a couple different movies and TV shows. But
she's the star of Blackish.
Yes.
Yes.
And she's a hilarious woman, but she has had a really interesting history in Hollywood with some of the things that she dealt with being treated as a woman. And then she battled mental health problems. And in this book, she just comes straight out and tells you all of her struggles with mental health and says, hey, if you need help, go get help. And if you need medication, go get the medication and take your medication. Stop with the stupid stigmas of people being on medications for their own mental health.
Okay.
So check her out. Miss Jennifer Lewis, The Mother of Black Hollywood, a memoir.
And you want to hear her voice because it's good.
Oh, it's funny.
Listen.
Voices in Hollywood. But I'll be damned if now... At the moment of truth, I could remember one line of the script I had studied.
Oh, what a voice.
I love her.
Jennifer Lewis, the mother of Black Hollywood. My pick of the week is this photo of Jeff Jarvis.
Offer you accepted. Own it yet?
This is, no. On this is another one. This one comes from Vintage Press Photos. And it has a red dot on the back. But I think it's kind of... No, it's not the same, is it? You're now in a plaid suit.
Oh, man.
He still looks just as cranky. Jeff, you have resting bitch face.
But why are there so many 8x10s of Jeff Jarvis on eBay? The world wants to know.
How long has it been there?
Should I buy it, too?
Well, no.
I only two is more than I need.
Two is more than you need, yes.
You think?
Yes.
Third. I actually think you should buy as many as you can find. Wallpaper
the
room
on them.
In Jeff's house when he goes out of town and just, like, have him come home.
Yes.
It would be amazing.
All right. Well, I'm going to make a $5 offer just in case. Okay. Oh,
no. Wow, they turned it down.
They say Jeff Jarvis is worth more than $5.
Put $5.50.
Whoa.
Wow.
Take that.
That was pretty damn quick.
$5.50.
The guy said, no, absolutely not.
That's my final offer.
They probably have a floor on it.
Yeah, they have a floor. So let's find out what it is. You can't, by the way, keep doing this. You gotta only have like one offer left. So let's try $8. No. I'm going to say not. Well, $15. Yeah, $8. That's more than half.
There you go.
Yeah, let's see. It wasn't rejected out of hand.
Oh. And here it goes. They want their money.
They're not taking a penny
they
less.
They feel that Jeff is...
$14.99.
They've seen there's a rush on it. They see there's a market now.
You're betting against yourself now.
They're checking on the other ones. All right,
the Jeff Jarvis futures are all up, I'm telling you.
All right, let's see if he'll take... Will you take 10? Oh, yeah, he'll take 10.
$10 is the cost of a Jeff Jarvis.
Not only was it accepted, it was accepted right away. I now own this. I got to pay him.
What if you have to pay all the others? Is that a better one than the other one?
You can't reject the acceptance. You're stuck, right?
No, you're stuck.
Well, no, if you don't pay them, they just won't send it to you.
My order's in. You should get it by May 14th.
Yes. Yes. You could take it on the cruise with you.
Oh, I will. I'm going to have it under my pillow. Are you kidding? I am so excited.
Under your pillow, on the mirror.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll make a little TikTok of me shaving, looking at Jeff Jarvis.
This is like what's his name?
Flat Stanley, was that it?
Flat Stanley.
Yeah, you can take
it's
Flat
a whole
Jeff
new
around.
Thing. Flat Jarvis.
Yeah.
I love Stanley. It. You know, Flat Stanley, you know? You don't know that? It's a flat pick. It's a flat thing of a guy, and people take it around and take pictures with it.
I see it. Okay. It's based off of a children's book.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I have to order a bunch of frames for my collection.
Oh, man. I'm pulling up and it says sold when I look for it.
So our morning conversation at breakfast is usually, all right, I have a payment here for $1,500. Oh, yeah, that was that laptop. Okay. I have three payments to eBay for $10.
Wait, are these on your business account?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, of course, it's tax deductible.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're an expense, Jeff.
Of course. No way I wouldn't deduct that. And if the IRS comes here...
we talked about it quite a lot, actually.
Comedy gold. It was worth a fortune.
Comedy gold. Jeff Jarvis is the director of the Townite Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York, and he adorns my wall.
Former brunette, Jeff Jarvis.
Former brunette. Thank you, Jeff. Buzzmachine.com for his writings. At Jeff Jarvis if you want to join the battle on Twitter. Aunt Pruitt. The hands-on photography.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do that product shot thing this week, or
no? Got something else going on.
You've
this
been
week.
Talking to some really great people.
I got to sit down with a very, very popular NFL photographer.
I know. We're so jealous that you got to talk to this guy.
It's going
to
be going to be great. Yeah. But just go ahead and subscribe, twit.tv/hop. I'm still rehearsing how I would like to do the product photography. So that's what you saw on TikTok is me going through rehearsal.
You are also a master at events tomorrow in the Twit Clubhouse.
That's right.
Scott Wilkinson. That'll be fun. And Ask Me Anything at 9 a.m. next week, Father Robert. Mm-hmm. Stacy's book club's coming up June 16th. You have time still, I think, to read Termination Shock by Neil Stephenson.
I don't know. That's a long book.
Thick book. I'll be starting it tomorrow.
Jammer B and I have been having some conversations.
I really struggled with this one. I was sad when they chose it. But
it's all Jammer B's fault.
Listen to that. John has read it all the way through and has started over and is now 40% on his second read.
Yeah, he's saying he's trying to catch up with me on his second time around. Oh gosh,
he slapped you.
Yeah, it's this book is so long.
If you are not a member of Club Twit, you really have to join. It's so much fun. The Discord is great, but there's more to it than just the Discord. Ad-free versions of all of our shows, the Twit Plus feed, with many of the things that don't happen in the podcasts, including some shows we don't put out, like the Untitled Linux Show, the Giz Fizz. We launched this week in Space in the Club. Thank you, Club Twit members, and we are going to launch a new show soon. I'll give you details about that very soon. We're very excited about this one. I think you will be too. All it is $7 a month, just a couple of lattes. Go to twit.tv/clubtwit. Your support is very, very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Stacy Higginbotham, Stacy on IoT.com. We will miss you next week. I'm sorry. But have fun in Vegas.
What? I'm going to be gone the next week, too.
I know. They already told me. They try to warn me ahead of time.
He can't get rid of me. He tries.
No, you're going to be gone
like
in 2 weeks.
Bad penny. I might be. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to be all alone in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, because that's the week. I'm not going to be there that week, too, because I'm in Dallas.
Have fun with that.
Oh, sorry.
Are you going to be here, Ant?
I don't know.
You better be. It's going to be the Ant Leo show.
I have no idea.
No, by then your photo of Jeff will be here.
Oh, I'll just put a photo
right up.
Oh, you know what? Now, wait a minute. Does eBay have any pictures of you, Stacey? Because I need you.
Good Jeff.
Oh,
man.
No.
I'll just tape
it.
I'll just tape it to the TV.
Here, let us go to eBay.
I disagree, Leo. The internet's great.
I'm going to assume they don't have it. Although, Ant, how old are you? May I ask? I mean, I can ask.
I am over 40. I'll say that.
So I noticed that Jeff's photo is from 1980.
Wait a minute. That's 40 years ago.
Thanks a lot.
That's 42 years ago.
No, it's not.
I was like, were you bored when that photo was taken?
No, 1990.
Oh, 1990.
Oh, okay. I was like,
man, bad enough.
That's
okay.
Wow.
I feel better now. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. I was shocked. I was like,
you enjoyed that. Stacey, you enjoyed that far too much.
That was not a jab. That was a left hook.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my God, Jeff, you look amazing.
It's enough to make you finesse. Well,
I look just as old as I am. Yeah.
Thank you all for being here. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday. You see, you don't want to miss an episode.
No. Yeah, who says this is not fun talking about Google for 3 hours?
This is a
huh?
great show. We barely mentioned Google. Oh, we didn't even get to Google's quarterly results. That's how little we care.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, no.
We do this show. Oh, we'll do it someday.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. Let's put it that way. We talked about it on Windows Weekly. We talked about it on This Week in Tech, but we didn't talk about it on This Week in Google. Because we got bigger fish to finesse. We do this show Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2100 UTC. Watch live at live.twit.tv. You can listen live too. Chat live at irc.twit.tv. That's open to all. You can get every show at our website, twit.tv/twig. Best thing to do be subscribe, get it in your podcast catcher, and you can listen whenever you're in the mood for a deep and profound discussion about finessing and waffles. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on Twig. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor of Ad Astra magazine, and each week I'm joined by Tarek Malik, the editor-in-chief over at space.com. in our new This Week in Space podcast. Every Friday, Tarek and I take a deep dive into the stories that define the new space age. What's NASA up to? When will Americans once again set foot on the moon? And how about those samples from the Perseverance rover? When are those coming home? What the heck has Elon Musk done now? In addition to all the latest and greatest in space exploration, we'll take an occasional look at bits of spaceflight history that you probably never heard of, and all with an eye towards having a good time along the way. Check us out in your favorite podcatcher.